ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധൻ വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമ മായപ്പൂർ ധാമ മധുരപുരി ധാമ ജഗന്നാഥപുരി ധാമ ഭരഗാപുരി ധാമ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോവിഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപദാമഹ്യം ദദാതി സുഖദായകം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാം ച നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രജാനേ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷവാനവി ദേവി വേദായ കൃപാഭയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യാ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗ ഭക്തിദാ ശ്രീയോഗരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തു. നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ വീരധാരിണി രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തധ്വന്ദഹാരിണി. നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപുലംബരസാമോദേ പാദാമുചാര്യേ നമ. നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിഭവഭൂമിസ്തു നിർദ്ദേശ സജ്ജന പ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവസർവഭോമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ നമ. വചനൽപ്പതിരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാ സിദ്ധോഭ്യേവച പതിനാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ. നമോ മഹാബുധന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനന്ദേ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമ. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്രിയം. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തു. ജയതം സുരഗൗമാംഗോർ മഹമന്ദ്രമലേർഗീമത്സർവസ്തവദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ ശ്രീമന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാലോ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമദ്രാസാരം ദീപം ശ്രീവടകരസ്ഥിം കൃഷ്ണേ ഗോവേ ഗോവിനാശ്രീയസ്തുനീരാഹേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി ശ്രീവാസുദേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈതകലാഹര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ രാമ ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം ബാഹായ പ്രതിബോധിതം
సర్వదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన కలిదాం పురాణమునినా అన్వయే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవదీమష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబత్వా మనసన్నదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే వ్యారంతాయ వక్రనేత్రా ఏన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్నమారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రమే త్రైగవాణై జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతగుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుర్గా గోపాలం నరా పాఠో వల్స సుదీర్ భోక్తా దుర్గం నామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవ సుదం దేవం నమసచ్చారూయమదనం దేవి పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం విశ్వద్రోణరాజేంద్రజలాకాంధారణీయోల్పలాగ్రాహవరీ కృపేణ మహనీ కర్ణేన అశ్వత్థామవిర్ణఘోరనగరా దుర్యోధనావర్తి ఖలు పాండవైరణీ కైవర్తకేశవ పారాశర్యమయసరోమలం జీవాతగంధోల్కరం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికదా సమోదనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జనశల్పదైరహర్హర్పేమీయమానంభూయాత్పాదమంగళకైమల ప్రథమం శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి పాదారంభంగం లంఘయ దేవీం జలప్రపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మావరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్తన్వందితివే సవయవేదే సాంగపదే క్రమ ఉపనిషదే గాయనీయం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితదగ్గరే మనసో పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్య అందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఏషోనుగంభ్యో మయి నాథవానిధి మేక్ మీ భ్రమణ సైన్ కృష్ణ ఏషోనుగంభ్యో మయి నాథవానిధి దాట్ కృష్ణ షుడ్ కృష్ణ షుడ్ గైడ్ మీ కృష్ణ షుడ్ డైరెక్ట్ మీ ఇన్ లైఫ్ all the time says in the before the Chatushloki Bhagavatam Krishna said Brahma said to Krishna Nathan Nathita Nathaya practically what means is that everyone is protected here by Krishna. Everybody. In other words, we are not without anybody's protection. We are under Krishna's protection. But we are not feeling that protection from Krishna. This is our difficulty. Actually, Krishna's protection is there. Otherwise, this, as Brahma explains there, that we couldn't live in this world. The fact that this material body in which Krishna is present inside as the Antaryami, guiding this body to function in this world, to survive in this world. But that lack of awareness of Krishna's presence inside, that's our problem. So, that awareness to come back again, that Krishna is with us and Krishna is guiding this body through this world, That has to happen when Krishna makes us aware of that. That is how it happens. Right at this moment, because being covered by Maya, we are thinking that we are independent. Is it not? That independent feeling inside us is due to the presence of Maya, that covering. When that covering goes away, which is by Krishna's grace, then we will all feel that that Krishna is actually looking after us. Krishna is protecting us here. And Krishna is with us. So, and only when Krishna's grace falls onto us, and we start realizing that Krishna is looking after us, only at that time we will feel protected and feel that peace inside. Up to this time, this anxiety or fear will carry on with us in all times. This is material existence. Material existence is that to feel unprotected, to feel always in fear, and there is nobody to guide us, nobody to help us in that way. A feeling of helplessness, that is material existence. This will go away when Krishna removes the covering of Maya and show to us that He is with us all the time. And that is what Brahma is praying here to Krishna. So therefore, what did Brahma notice this with all the cowherd boys and others who are present there? And Brahma says to them that in the prayers you can see there, Brahma saying that I should have that same feeling like the way they are feeling protected. The cowherd boys are feeling protected in the same way. Same way, he says, that I should also feel, but that's only possible when Krishna wants us to come with Him. And Brahma says to Krishna that in this Vrindavanam, where everyone is with Krishna, let me also have an opportunity to come and take birth here with all the other associates, Krishna's associates. We have seen all the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, and the gopis, and also the plants, trees, creepers, all the peacocks, all the animals there. They all felt protected by Krishna. Therefore, there was no practical any enmity among them. So that's what they are Brahma is saying here. If you look at the verse 30, Tadastu mena dasabhuri bhago bhavetravanya tadavatirascham yenahameko vibhavajananam bhutva nishayvetava padavallavam. I want to become, Brahma says, one of your people, Krishna's people, then, and I will serve you like everybody else is serving you here. Like all others in Vrindavanam, how they were serving Krishna, in the same way, I will also serve you. But provided you give me an opportunity for that, show some mercy for that. Brahma, sitting in Brahmalokam, initially kept himself away from everything. But Krishna pulled him back here and brought him here. And then Brahma realized that it was Krishna's pressure that brought him here. So, Brahma is saying that whether Krishna will give me an opportunity or not, I do not know, he said. But leave that behind. But if he gives me an opportunity, I will serve Krishna. That is how Brahma says there. And even though I had that opportunity before, Brahma is saying here, look at their good fortune. He is saying, about who? About the associates of Krishna in Vrindavanam.
Even at this age, they are not sure, Brahma is not sure, that whether he has got that good fortune or not, that is not definite yet. So, in the next verse you will see, he says, all those who got that good fortune, what is that? Aho didhanyam, aho didhanya vrajagoramanya, stanyamrudam pitapadiva me muda, yasam vibho valsadara almaja almana, yatruptaye dhyabina chala madhvaram. In this Ahodidanyam Rajagoramanyam, in Govulam or in Vrindavanam, all whom you see there, the cows, the gopis, all of them, they are all dhanya. They are all very fortunate. Why? Because because Brahma is saying that Krishna drank their milk. All the gopis in Vrindavanam, Krishna drank their milk. All the cows in Vrindavanam, Krishna drank their milk. And that too, very happily drank that. How is that? When Krishna was at home, Krishna drank Yashoda Devi's milk, breast milk. But in this particular instance, when Yashoda, when Brahma took away all the, hid all the calves and cowherd boys, what did Krishna do? Krishna expanded himself, is it not? He expanded himself into, he took the form of all the calves, all the cowherd boys, and stayed like that for over a year. You will see that in the 13th chapter. Yavad valsa valsava valsa kalkapur yavad karankhra adhikam yavad yashti vishana venu dalarshi yavad vidushambaram yaval shila guna abhidakriti vayo yavad vihara adhikam sarvam vishnumayam gironga vadaja sarvasvarupo bhavau sarvam vishnumayam gironga vadajam sarvasvarupo bhavau. All the cowherd boys, Krishna took that form. All the calves, Krishna has taken that form. And then all their limbs, everything, the sticks they were using for tending the cows, the horn they were using for their music, the flute, the leaves, and the pots where they were carrying the food, whatever that the cowherd boys had, they themselves, their clothes, everything, including their jewelry, clothes, everything. And not only that, not only in the gross body, but even in the subtle body, their habits, their qualities, their names, their form, their age, whatever that was, if you look at them at that time, even though they were hid by Lord Brahma, in this form, when Krishna has expanded himself in their form, they all looked very similar. There was no difference at all. So that is what he is saying here. Sarvam Vishnumayam Gironga Vadaja Sarvasvarupa Bhavau. Then they appeared as though nobody suspected that they were different from those boys and the calves which were taken away by Lord Brahma. They all looked so identical, nobody could differentiate them. And everybody looked like, even though they were expanses of Krishna, Brahma could not even recognize them, hardly find any difference. Brahma was so confused when he saw between the cowherd boys he has hidden and the calves he has hidden from Krishna, and the Krishna's expansions of cowherd boys and the calves, practically there was no difference, and it confused Brahma himself. That's what Bhagavatam is saying. That he's saying that yavad valsava valsa kalpagapur yavad karangriyadikam yavad yashti vishana venu dalashya gavad vidushambaram yavad shila gunabhidagrati vayo yavad viharadikam sarvam vishnumayam. In every aspect, they resembled the old boys, old cowherd boys and the calves which Brahma has stolen away. And Brahma got confused himself because of that. So, when this has happened, when Krishna expanded in the form of these cowherd boys and the calves, what happened? Every evening, they used to go home for one whole year. This happened. Brahma took away the calves and the cowherd boys away. Krishna expanded himself in the form of calves and the cowherd boys. In the evening, Krishna went home with all his expanded form of calves and the cowherd boys, and they all went to their houses. The mothers, the gopis, thought their children had come back. They didn't know the difference. So naturally, they breastfed these boys who had come back from the forest. And the cows in the houses, they also thought their calves had come back, and they also fed the calves, which were all expanded forms of Krishna. So you can, Brahma is saying, look at their good fortune, the gopis and the cows of Vrindavanam. They got an opportunity to breastfeed Krishna like this for one whole year. That means while in Vrindavanam, Krishna did not only drink the milk of Yashoda Devi, Krishna drank the milk in the expanded form of all the gopis as well as the cows of Vrindavanam. That is what he is saying here. So, normally children drinking the milk of the mother is not unusual. It's not unusual. And they do feel happy when they drink the milk from the mother. There is nothing unusual about that. But this is unusual. You have to remember who drank the milk. That good fortune what Yashoda had, all the gopis also had it. And all the cows also had that good fortune of drinking Krishna's, of having Krishna as a baby and Krishna drinking milk from them. That is what they are saying there. That Ahodi dhanya vrajagovaramanyam stanyamrudam pidamadi vade muda yasam vibho valsadara almaja almana yatrutta yedhya abhinajalam advharam. Ahodi dhanya vrajagovaramanyam stanyamrudam pidamadi vade muda. Great sacrifices are performed to please Krishna. But those sacrifices are not capable of pleasing Krishna. But what made Krishna to be so pleased that he gave this opportunity to all the gopis and all the cows in Vrindavanam that they could feed Krishna with their breasts. They could breastfeed Krishna like this. All the gopis got that opportunity. And all the cows also got the opportunity to allow Krishna to drink their milk directly. And Brahma is saying, is there anybody more fortunate than this? More fortunate than this. And you will see in the next verse, Esham tu aho bhagyam aho bhagyam nandagoba vrajaugasam yanmitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam. Brahma, standing there, is thinking, look at the good fortune of those who are living in Vrajam, in Vrindavanam. Nandagopa Vrajaugasam. In this Vrajam, those who are living here, their good fortune is amazing, they are saying, because they got this opportunity to feed milk to that Purna Brahmam. Ahobhagyam, ahobhagyam. Nandagopa Vrajaugasam. En mitram paramanandam purnam brahmam sanatanam. That purnam brahmam is living here in Vrindavanam as their close friend. As their close friend. Purnam en mitram paramanandam purnam brahmam sanatanam. That purnam brahmam is living in Vrindavanam as their close friend. Esham tu bhagya mahima chuda tavadasthal ekadashaiva hivayam padaburi bhagam. Edar Shiga Chashagai Asakat Pibhama Sharvadayong Rudaja Adhumadham Hasavam Te Esham Tu Bhagya Mahima Chuda Tavadastal Ega the Shaiva Hivayam Bada Bhuri Bhagaha. For very, very long time, Adhuram Adhuram means various kinds of sacrifices has been going on there. In those days, sacrifices were quite common. For a very, very long time, various kinds of sacrifices were going on. But in spite of all that, for a long time it has been happening, but none of them is actually satisfying Krishna. None of them is actually satisfying Krishna. If you look in the previous verse also, yatruptayedhya adhyabina chalam adhvaram. Adhvaram means sacrifices. Ahodidhanyam rajagoramanyam sanyamadam pidamadivade muda yasam vibho valsalaralpa jalpana yatruptaye adhyabina chalam adhvaram. Yatruptaye adhyabina chalam adhvaram. Adhvara means sacrifices, various kinds of sacrifices, kriyabhadhari, what they call it. And those sacrifices are not satisfying Krishna. Yatraptaye adhyabina chalam adhvara. And adhyabi, it says here, adhyabi. Why did it say adhyabi? Adhyabi means any karmam, even it is spiritual activity, for example, deity worship, or these yajnam, sacrifices, when we do those things, our attention will always be on the physical side of it. The mind will not easily take that mood. You may have noticed this, that when you do deity worship, or when you do any, perform any sacrifices, the adhyavi means that initially it will take a long time to get the mind absorbed in that. You will give a lot of attention to the kriya side of it, the physical side of it, like organizing different ingredients for the worship, dressing the deity, and chanting the mantra, making the offering, paying obeisances. All these things we will do. People will do all that. But to get the mind absorbed in that, it is a bit difficult. It does not happen very easily. This is our, due to conditioning. It is not so easy to get the mind absorbed in a particular activity easily. That is what here Brahma is saying there. That adhyabina chalam adhvara. First of all, while engaging in all these different activities, it has to be done in a particular way. There is instructions in the Shastram how worship has to be performed, how the sacrifices has to be performed. Therefore, we will try to follow those rules strictly. We'll try to do that. And even though you may have a lot of attention in all the aspects of the worship, in all aspects of the worship, finite side of that, but you may not have that bhakti towards the person to whom you are doing all these services. This is quite understandable, isn't it? It's an important thing, because you may sing by seeing the dress of the deities, by seeing all the worship that is going on physically, you may form an opinion inside that everything is going on very well. What Brahma is saying there, that part of it is easy. But the other side of it, where you have to have that absorption in that, that is difficult. That takes time. That's what he's saying there. Ahodidhanyam rajagoramanyam stanyamrtam pidamadivade mutha yasam vibho valsadaralpa jalpana yatraptayadhyamina chalam adhvara. And that is where the difficulty is. That's where the difficulty is. So, Brahma is saying here, even though you may have your attention to the very finite side of that, of the Shraddha there, but to the person to whom this is all addressed to, you need not have that same attention there. You may not have that in there. For example, he's saying there that these yagam, sacrifices and glorifications, various spiritual activities, has been going on for such a long period of time. Many, many years and many, Brahma says, many yugams. For example, he is saying, because Brahma's life is very, very long, isn't it? He has seen this more than us. He has been seeing this for longer period than all of us because of his long lifespan. Chaturyugam, he says. Not only Chaturyugam, so many manus time he has seen this. Or you can even say, so many kalpam he has seen this, isn't it? And Brahma has seen many kalpam, the same thing going on. Imagine this same thing going on all so many kalpams time in this way. And from Brahma's life, Brahma is saying, in the third canto you will see that he has finished his first half of life. 50 years gone, he is on the 51st year now. So it's the second part of his life now. That means you can imagine from that how many kalpam he has seen. And for such a long time, again and again, people have done this worship of the Lord. And even though they were absorbed in all these things for such a long period of time, still Krishna is not totally pleased with us. Totally pleased with us. Because why is that? That's why Brahma is saying that. Even though for several lifetimes we have done the same thing, repetition of the same spiritual activities, what we do now, that includes everything. Everything becomes a karmam then, isn't it? Bhavam has not come. Karmam is being performed in the karmam. So, all those karmam has not pleased Krishna. He's not satisfied. Just like they say, this example, that when a student is learning music, if he sings a kirtan, it may not be perfect. But after a long period of time, he has performed his sadhana for a long period of time, say 20 or 25 years, then one day when he sings that song, it completely absorbs everybody into it. It comes out perfectly. Why? Because by now the bhavam has come into him, to that person. Initially when he was a student, he didn't have the bhavam in him. But many years of practice has created that bhavam in that person. So when he sings the kirtanam at that time, it automatically makes others also to get absorbed in that. That is due to the quality of the sadhana, what he has done. Quality of the sadhana he has done. So, but this karmam, various yajnam, sacrifices, everything, jiva has performed for several lifetimes here. For several kalpam they have done here. And imagine the life of these jivas who have performed this karmam for so long. And in several lifetimes they have done this, and in this human form of body, they arrived at this human life, and in the human life also, several lifetimes, and possibly they got an opportunity even to get a birth of a brahmana in this lifetime. And fortunate are those who had that, and among them are those who are fortunate, are those who had an opportunity to study the Vedam, study the Shastram, all these things, who got an opportunity to study the Shastram. And not only that, among them, those who are fortunate are those who got the opportunity to engage in those karmam, in those karmam also. But what is the sad thing? Sad thing is that after getting into the human form, a brahmana birth, and then again opportunity to study Vedam, Shastram, everything, then they will go and engage in karmam in such a way that they will, the result of that will come in the form of pious results, and they go back to the, go to the heavenly planets again to enjoy there. It goes in a different direction. They go and enjoy in the heavenly planets, and when that activities in the heavenly planets, when the pious results are finished, they have to come back here again. And Brahma is saying, talking about them. He's saying, what was the use? What did they gain from this? Chine punne martilokam vishandi. Isn't it? So they went into the heavenly planets. After that, they came back here. And again, they got another life here to start with the karma again, what they were doing here. Why is that? Because, why did this happen? That is the question, isn't it? Esham tu bhagya mahima chudadavadasal egadeshaiva hivayam badabhui bhagaha edadrushiga chashayira sakalpibhama sharvadayongrudaja sharvadayongrudaja adhumrudha savam te tad bhuri bhagyam iva janmagima padavyam yad gokulevi kutamangrira jobhishekam yad jeevidam du nikhilam bhagavan mukundas tadvabi yalpadaraja shri murgyameva. So, when they come back here, again they engaged in karma. And every karma has got a problem. What is that? Karma vasana. It will create karma vasana, isn't it? So, through the study of Vedam, they have taken to performance of yagam or sacrifices. And through all that, some karma vasana will also come along with that. And because of that, that karma vasana they have created, it has given them again the same birth. Even through the performance of yagam, sacrifices. So, purpose of all yagam is to purify oneself. Karmam, if you perform for a longer period of time, yagam, the purpose of all the yagam is purification of chitta shuddhi or purification of one's heart. And those who are performing karmam through their sadhana, they have to get that shuddhi inside, purity inside. But in spite of all that, everything was there. Yatriptaye dhyabina chalamadhvara. Brahma is saying there that even though karmam was not sufficient, karmam was not sufficient to please you, to satisfy you. And but it is impossible to say that it is not possible to explain the reason behind that. He said that vastu stanyamrdam pidamadivade mudam. That person who could not get satisfied by all these things, by this karmam, is now satisfied by drinking the breast milk of these calves and the breast of the gopis and the cows. Gopis and the cows. So what is that place to Krishna like this? Brahma is asking this question. Several others who have performed sacrifices for several lifetimes, but they didn't get that purity inside. Chitta Shuddhi didn't happen. So therefore they had to go, they did go to the heavenly planets because of their performance of yagam and sacrifices. When that results of their sacrifices were finished, they came back here, but they started doing the same thing again. So you can see the karmam, if it is not performed with the proper bhavam, if it does not become karma yogam or bhagavata dharmam, then even chitta shuddhi may not happen with the yagam. Chitta shuddhi didn't happen. That's what is the problem. So, here you can see that all the gopis in Vrindavanam, all the cows in Vrindavanam, stanyamrdam pidam adivade muda, Krishna drank their milk with such a satisfaction. Krishna was pleased with the gopis and the cows there, but not with the brahmanas who are performing the sacrifices there. That is pointing out here. That is pointed out here. So, Brahma is comparing both and saying, in spite of so much energy and effort they have put into performing sacrifices, look at their situation. And look at the condition of the gopis and the cows, that they were able to, look at their good fortune, says
Brahma. So, Brahma is asking this question, that in order to please you, in order to please you in this way, and for your happiness, they were able to offer you milk in this way, from their breast and from their udder, in this way. And to keep on feeding you milk for a long period of time like this, what is that good fortune they have done for this? What even the Brahmanas didn't have? What has happened to them? And then Brahma says, I don't know what it is. He says, I don't know what that is, he says. And that is when he is saying here, Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nandagopa vrajaugasam, yanmitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam. 32. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nandagopa vrajaugasam, yanmitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam, purnam brahmam sanatanam. That purnam brahmam is in Nanda Maharaj's palace, Nanda Maharaj's courtyard, associating with these cows and gobis and drinking their milk. What was their good fortune for this? What did they do to come to this? All I can say is, aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Their good fortune, that's all I can say, says Brahma. Says Brahma. So, now, then, so, they have, Krishna has accepted Nanda Maharaj's home as his place of residence, and all these gobis and the cows, they have also come here at the same time, and look at their good fortune to be with Krishna like this. Brahma is feeling a little bit envy of the whole situation. And certainly, Brahma says, this good fortune what they had here is not due to their karma. It's not due to their karma. Because, why does Brahma say like that? Because crores and crores of life before this, they have performed pious activities, no doubt, auspicious things. But this is not only the result of that. It's Brahma's conclusion. Then why is that? En mitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam. Purna brahmam, sanatana brahmam has accepted them as his friends. That is their good fortune. He has accepted all these gobis, cowherd boys, the cows, the calves as his friends. He has accepted them and that is their good fortune, and that is sky mercy, that is grace, Krishna's grace it is. That, and therefore they are able to please Krishna. They are able to please Krishna. in order to please Krishna, accordingly, they have accepted a life here, accepted a body here, and they became qualified for that. They acquired the necessary qualifications to be with Krishna, and not due to their particular ability. Krishna showed that mercy to them and they got an opportunity and they became qualified for that. They became qualified for that. Not due to anything else. Not they had any special qualifications. It's just that Krishna accepted them as their friend. This is called mercy or kripa. Krishna's kripa, grace that is, isn't it? Brahma is saying that there are many other great personalities because he knows the life of everybody. How many kalpams they have come here, what they have done here, everything Brahma knows. So Brahma is saying there are many others who have done the same thing, these things, but they didn't make it. What? How come these cowherd boys, these gopis and cows, they got this opportunity like this purely due to Krishna accepted them, decided to take them on board, and they happened to be there and they got this opportunity to be like this close to Krishna. So that is what it is saying there. Yesham tu bhagyam mahima chudadavadastha megadashaiva hivayam bhada bhuri bhaga ఏదృషీరచషగై అసగల్పిభామ శర్వాదయోమధ్వమదాసవందే మధ్వమదాసవందే. అండ్ హి సేస్ దేర్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ హియర్ దట్ that not due to their pious activities that they have got here, not due to that. you know, those who had chanted the holy name, those who have chanted the holy name, and those who have paid obeisances to Krishna, and those who have done something to please Krishna, only that's possible for only those who receives that mercy from Krishna. Only when one receives Krishna's mercy, they will be able to do any of these things, either to chant the holy name, or able to pay obeisances to Krishna, or able to do something to please Krishna. But even if you do this for a considerably long period of time, even if you crores of lifetime, if you have done that, it is not guaranteed that this will happen. It's not guaranteed this will happen. How will this happen to us? He's saying here, Esham tu bhagyam mahima achyudate avtavadastam ekadashaivahi vayambada bhuribhagaham. ఏదృశీగ చషగై అసగల్పిభామ శర్వాదయో అంగృదజ మధ్యమృదా సవంతే. లెట్ అస్ నాట్ వరీ అబౌట్ ఇట్ టూ మచ్ హీ సేస్ అబౌట్ దియర్ గుడ్ ఫార్చ్యూన్. లార్డ్ శివ శర్వాది ఏకాదశ హి వయం. ఏకాదశి వయం మీన్స్ ఏకాదశ రుద్రాస్, ద 11 రుద్రాస్. ఏకాదశ హి వయం. And the predominating deities of all of them, they are all very fortunate. The 11 Rudras, they are very fortunate. Because they are also the predominating deities in the 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. And also the mind. So these 11 predominating deities in the senses and the mind, through them we enjoy this. We enjoy how we are able to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. Sharvadayongruja adhumrudasavante. That means that the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet is being enjoyed by us in this way. He says here that we are unable to think the good fortune, unable to think about it, what their good fortune is, who the gopis, the cowherd boys, and also the cows who have taken birth in Vrindavanam. We are 11 of us, 10 senses and the mind. And through this chashagam, I mean through the senses, we are able to see your body, your lotus feet, and we are able to hear about you, we are able to see you, and we are able to smell you, we are able to touch you. All the senses are capable of doing that, isn't it? And in this way, we are able to smell the tulsi leaves at your lotus feet, and through these senses, we are able to experience a little bit of that grace, what you are showing to us. And we can think about that in this way. The 11, the 10 senses, 5 working senses and the 5 knowledge senses and the mind, it is through that one can experience Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, taste Krishna's prasadam, and enjoy Krishna in this way. We get that opportunity. Brahma says here, because at least through the senses we are able to see you, he says, to hear, to touch you, to, and all other things. Esham tu bhagya mahima achyuta tavad astam ekadashaivahi vayam pada bhuribhaga. Edat krishikam, krishikam means the senses. Chashagai asagat pibhama garsharvadayongrudaja madhva mrudasavante. then we can think like this, we are able to do that, but we are able to enjoy this through the senses, but that is what is given to us. That's what we are allowed so far. But beyond than that, we have not gone. Like the way we are able to enjoy you through our senses, but beyond than that, the jivalma, the jivas here, Nandagopa Vrajaugasam, like the inhabitants of Vrindavanam, what opportunity they had, and the happiness they are deriving, the pleasure they are having in your association, that we don't know how to explain that. Brahma is talking about that, he's saying that people ordinarily, they get that opportunity to enjoy Krishna through the senses. But that is as the predominating deities of the senses and the mind. But these inhabitants of Vrindavanam, particularly the cows, the gopis and the cowherd boys, and also all other living entities, the birds, the animals, including the plants and the creepers and the trees, all of them in the Vrindavanam, why did they get this direct opportunity like this? We don't know. We don't know that, says Brahma. So, through senses, how much you are allowed, whatever Krishna has allowed us, that we can enjoy. That's what we are allowed, through senses, right? So, therefore, our bhagyam, our good fortune, is not the real good fortune. The good fortune is this. That is the verse 34. Tad bhuvini bhagyam iha janma kima pyadavyam yad gokule bikutama angri rajo abhishegam yad jeevitam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundas tadvabayal padraja shruti mrgyamevam tad bhuvini bhagyam iha janma kima pyadavyam yad gokule bikutama angri rajo abhishegam yad jeevitam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundas tadvabayal padraja shruti mrgyamevam. Brahma came to the conclusion that at least in Vrindavanam or in the forest there, at least as a grass, if I can get a birth, or if at least I can lie here as a stone, if I get a birth like that, while those who are enjoying you directly like this with you, when they walk through this, when they chant the holy name of Krishna, when they are walking through this, thousands and thousands of devotees, when they go through this, at least the dust from their feet will fall on our head. Brahma is feeling that humility inside and saying that at least once, if we get an opportunity to receive that mercy in that way, the dust from the devotee's lotus feet, then that itself is a big thing, Brahma says. Why is Brahma, who was sitting in Satyalogam, not bothered about anything, thinking that I am responsible for this whole universe, Brahma thought, initially. But when he was subdued, when Brahma learned the lesson, automatically he came to his senses and he started saying to Krishna in this way. So, whether it is in Gokulam or in Vrindavanam or in this any of this forest, even if we get a birth as a blade of grass, he says, the life of a blade of grass is unknown. Is it not? Very much unknown. For example, in the rainy season, they get their life. And in the sun, when the sun comes, in the sunny season, they dry up and gone. And life is finished, isn't it? So, which is such a short span of time they have. At that time, if Krishna's mercy is there, we will get an association with those who are chanting Krishna's holy name. When they walk through this forest, they will put their feet on our head and walk through that. So, at that time, we will get the dust from their feet. And will you give us that good fortune? Brahma is saying to Krishna, if you won't give us a birth here, with your associates here, at least give us that birth. Brahma has given a suggestion to Krishna in that way. Because it is never possible for us, he says, to come anywhere equal to these personalities who are here with you. So, we will try, because we can't please those who are pleasing you. We can't please you directly. But at least if we can please those who are pleasing you, that is our good fortune. Brahma says like that. And even if we get receive their dust from their lotus feet, we can only pray for that, he is saying here. Tad bhuri bhagyam iva janmagima pyadavyam tayad gokule vikatam angirajo abhishekam yajividam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundastu dvabiyal padaraja shruti mrgyameva. Particularly in this planet, and that too in Vrindavanam, and that too in the middle of all the inhabitants of the who are there, if we can get their padarajas, that means from the dust from their lotus feet, if we get on our head from their whatever it may be, that life is a good fortune. And whose for those who are living there in Vrindavanam, their life is completely absorbed in Krishna, who is being searched after by all the Vedas. All the Vedas are searching after Krishna. All the great jnanis, yogis, they are all searching for Krishna. And that Krishna is their life, is their life. Then, why did Brahma say like this? He is saying that one who is chanting the holy name and those who are living in Vrindavanam, their glories. Ye jividam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukunda tadvaviyal padaraja shrutimrgyameva. Shrutimrgyameva means Shruti or Vedam, Vedam glorifies Krishna. And they carry there, those who are chanting the holy name and who live in Vrindavanam, their dust, that Nanda Gopa Vrajam, they have offered themselves in the Nanda Maharaj's place of residence, Vrajam, and their dust, the dust from their feet, at least a birth like that, can you not give us? He says, you can see, Esham Khoshanivasinam Rudabhavan Kim Devarate Dinascheto Vishwabhalal Palam Tadabaram Kutra Payan Mufyadi Sadvesha Diva Putana Bisagula Twameva Deva Pida Yadha Marta Sural Priyal Madanayam Prana Shayat Tulkrate Prana Shayat Tulkrate. These persons, these living entities here in Vrindavanam, the seva they are performing, the service they are performing to Krishna, and the benefits and the results they are receiving from you due to their service to you, when we see that, our intelligence, we are very much affected by that, in other sense, that we are completely in a, we feel concerned about that. By their service, that they are able to please you so much. Krishna is pleased so much by their service. And we are unable to please you with all our yajnam, yagam, homam, everything, unable to help please you. But these personalities or these living entities who are there in Vrindavanam with you, seeing their service to you and your response to that, we are getting a little bit bewildered by that. He is saying here that our intelligence is very much affected by that. You remember in the beginning of the Bhagavatam that not understanding Krishna, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Muhyan Diyat Suraya. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam beginning. Janmadhyase do invayadidharas charteshva vijna swaral tene brahma hridaya. What does that mean? Muhyandiyat suraya. Muhindiyat Suraya means this. That's what Brahma is saying here. Muhindiyat Suraya means even great yanis and yogis and great personalities who have performed sacrifices for several lifetimes, even they are bewildered. They fall into illusion. Muhyandiyat Suraya. They are highly learned. They have performed great sacrifices in their life. Yajnam, Yagam, everything based on the Vedic injunctions. And in the Ashtanga Yogam process also, they have advanced considerably, way ahead. And even they get bewildered about Krishna. Muhyandiyat Suraya. These associates of Krishna in Vrindavanam, engaged in the pastimes there, they seem to have not Muhyandi, not under that illusion at all. They seem to have gone beyond all these things. How is that possible? Brahma is himself asking this question. When Vedavyasa Maharshi said that verse, that's why that verse, Janmadhyasayadaha, that verse has got so much spiritual understanding packed into that. Charte shabhitya swarad tene brahma. That is why the word swarad also, fully independent. Nobody knows how to please Krishna. Nobody knows how to please Krishna. In you can see in Bhagavatam, Ajamila chanted the holy name once, Krishna was pleased. Ajamila chanted the holy name once and Krishna was pleased. Prachetas, Krishna says to Prachetas, I am pleased with you seeing your unity. How can you explain this? Krishna says to Prachetas, I am very pleased with you by seeing your unity. All 10 Prachetas, 10 sons of Daksha, they were all always absorbed in spiritual life and they had so much agreement, never quarrelled each other. All the time did everything together and all of them fully fixed in spiritual life. Seeing that unity, that pleased to Krishna. Ajamila chanted the holy name, that pleased to Krishna. Yashoda Devi, the motherhood, pleased to Krishna. Kunti Devi surrender, pleased to Krishna. And Vidura's wife offered the skin of banana, pleased to Krishna. Nobody knows what pleases Krishna. Vilumangalam said this to Krishna at the end, very end of Karnamurtam. If you see the last verse in Karnamurtam, this is what was spoken. I don't know what pleases you. Nobody knows what pleases Krishna. You can't put a line and say, this is what pleases Krishna. He may not please Krishna. So what pleases Krishna, nobody knows. Therefore, yogis, jnanis and great personalities who perform sacrifices, they are all unable to get closer to you. Muhyandiyat Suraya. Why? Because you are fully independent. Charteshu abhijna swarad. That swarad is fully independent. Tene brahma hridaya adigavaye muhyandiyal suraya. Even Lord Brahma is Muhyandi. Why? Adigavi. He is Adigavi. He is the first person who received all this knowledge. Still, he is bewildered now. You can see he is also bewildered. So, nobody understands what pleases Krishna. Nobody understands what pleases Krishna. So, so Brahma is standing there and saying this to Krishna, that I am just thinking in my mind, I don't know what I have to say to you, nor do I know what do I have to do to please you. I don't know. He's saying like that. That's what he's saying there. Sadveshadiva pudana visagula tvameva deva pita yaddha mata suhral priyalpadanaya pranashaya tvalkrade sadveshadiva pudana visagula. Pudana come to Krishna to feed poison to Krishna through the breast. And Krishna says to Pudana, you go back to the spiritual world because you looked after me like your mother. Of course, there is a long story behind that. that when Pudanas in her previous life as Mahabali's daughter, her name was Ratnamala. So when Mahabali was performing the sacrifices, 100 Ashwamedham sacrifices he performed, on the last sacrifices, this Ratnamala used to spend all the time with Mahabali. Whatever Mahabali, she was like that, that was her nature. When Mahabali was the Yajamanan of the sacrifice in the Ashwamedham, Ratnamala was also present there. And when Vamanamurti came in with the intention to beg these 3 feet of land from Mahabali, and the whole plan was very much worked out in advance, Krishna has worked out the plan very much in advance, that by normal means it was not possible to take away anything from Mahabali. Why? Mahabali performed the dharmam, lived according to the dharmam. When somebody is living according to dharmam, Krishna says, I can't do anything about it. He's doing everything proper, so what can I do? So Krishna comes there, gave the word to Aditi Devi, that I will try my best to somehow get the properties, the heavenly planets back from Mahabali and give it to your children, to the Indra and others. But Mahabali was busy with the sacrifices. Shukracharya was there, wife Vindhyavali was there, and this daughter Ratnamala was there in the sacrifice. While Vamanamurti walked in, the first person who noticed Vamanamurti was Ratnamala. Ratnamala saw Vamanamurti walking into the sacrifice. And when Ratnamala saw Vamanamurti, Ratnamala thought like this, that who is the mother of this beautiful brahmachari, who looks so radiant, effulgent, so beautiful he was, the mother who got an opportunity to look after this son and care for him and to breastfeed him, is the most fortunate person in this world. This thought came into Ratnamala's mind. Because Ratnamala was the first person, young girl, who saw Vamanamurti walking in. That thought has developed as a vasana inside, in Ratnamala. When any vasana develops, then that is so strong, that vasana has to come through. Therefore, many devotees are saying that when Vamanamurti sent Mahabali to Sudalam, and when Vamanamurti told Mahabali that Rakshishye Sarvadohantam Sanugam Sabarichadam, that I will stand outside as a security guard outside in Sudalam, where he sent Mahabali there, Sanugam Sabarichadam, with all the family members there, the intention of making that promise to Mahabali was, it was not for Mahabali's sake, it was for Ratnamala's sake. That Mahabali, Vamanamurti thought that if Ratnamala is so captivated by me, by seeing my beauty, that, and Ratnamala had this desire inside, seeing that who is the mother of this beautiful brahmachari who had walked in. So all these things had been taken into account, and because if it was for protection of Mahabali, like the way Krishna has done for Ambarish Maharaj, he could have simply sent the disc. Disc would have done all, Sudarshanam would have done all the work in Mahabali's case also. But instead, to go there and stand there like a brahmachari, Vamanamurti, Vamanadev, and to stand there like Vamanadev, for the pleasure of Ratnamala there, Krishna has accepted that position, and that is why he had to stand there. This is the opinion of several devotees. It was more for the pleasure of Ratnamala that Krishna Vamanamurti has gone there and stood outside as a security guard for Ratnamala's home or Mahabali's home. So these are the important things, and that Ratnamala has come as Pudana, isn't it? That's what he is saying here. Sadveshadiva pudana visagula tuameva devarpidaha yaddham arthasuharul priya almadanaya pranashaya tulkrate. Pranashaya tulkrate. That because that this putana came with dvesham, with hate, with the intention of feeding the poison to Krishna, isn't it? Earlier, this whole family, who Prahlada, Virojana, Mahabali, Vana, all of them, asuras they are, isn't it? They are asura race, they are, as a race they are asuras. But because Prahlada appeared in that family, therefore what happened? That because of your birth, because of Prahlada's birth, 21 generations before and after will become great devotees. Krishna has given this commitment to Prahlada at the time of Narasimha's appearance, is it not? Trisaptam. And 21 lifetimes before, 21 generations before, and 21 generations afterwards will become great devotees. This was given, mercy was given by Krishna. So, this pujana has come in that 21. So that's why. Like pujana, sadvesha diva, with hate she has come, but Krishna turned her into a devotee. Sadvesha diva pudana abhisagula tvameva deva arpitaha yaddha martha suharul priyalmadanayam pranashaya tulkrate. That sadvesha diva means that Vesham was good. Pudana came very well dressed up. Vesham was good. But came to kill Krishna. If you look into the 6th chapter, you will see that how Pudana came. Tenth canto. Pudana logabhalagni rakshasi rudhirashana jighamsayabi haraye stanam dutvaba salgadim. Pudana logabhalagni rakshasi rudhirashana jighamsayabi haraye stanam dutvaba salgadim. That she kills the babies, she drinks the blood, he is a rakshasi, and this Pudana came and fed breast milk to Krishna and got liberated, went back to the spiritual world. So, Pudana Logabhalagni Rakshasi Rudhyashana. So, what it means is that you come dressed nicely. That was Krishna's, Pudana's qualification. You come, but you are dressed very well, isn't it? But just because you are dressed up, you won't be able to cheat Krishna in that way. That's also there. Just because you are dressed nicely, you can cheat others, but not Krishna. That's why Krishna knows who has come. But Krishna says, you are dressed nicely, and you have come to see me as your mother, as, yes, my mother. Fine, come back to the spiritual world. This is what he says there in the Bhagavatam, that this one particular mercy what Krishna has shown to Pudana, that has affected Shukabrahmarshi also, is it not? In the third canto you will see that. So Pudana, who had come like this, Krishna knows who had come and what the intention is, and that's the reason why he kept his eyes closed when Pudana came in. But to that Pudana, including your whole family, Krishna liberated them, offered them, or purified them and liberated them. Her brothers are Akhasura and Bagasura. They all went back to the spiritual world, isn't it? భగవాన్ రోషసమన్యుదో పిబద్ సైస్ రోషసమన్యుదో పిబద్ దట్ మీన్స్ when Krishna drank the milk of Pudana, or just like the poison of Pudana's breast, when Krishna drank that, Rosha Samanyido Pibad, with anger he drank that milk. He was angry that he is being fed with this poison. But still, even though Krishna was angry, when he drank the milk from Pudana, why did she get? Imagine, Krishna is angry with you, but still you are going back to the spiritual world. Rosha Samanyido Pibad. If you look at that sixth canto, sixth chapter, you will see. Rosha Samanyido Pibad. You can understand Krishna getting pleased with somebody and him going back to the spiritual world. But here, with Pudana, Krishna is so angry with her because he has been fed with this poison in the breast. But goes back to the spiritual world. He goes back to the spiritual world. Krishna is saying there, Krishna says that sadvesha diva, not because you have given me the breast milk, but you have dressed up nicely to come and see me. Therefore, I am sending you back. Because you are dressed nicely. why? You can see that in the Bhagavatam, if you look there in the sixth chapter, that when they saw Pudana, when Pudana walked into Vrajam, at that time, Pudana walked in, she was very beautiful. All the gopis, they were amazed by her beauty. She has taken that form through the influence of Maya. These Rakshasis have got that capacity to change the form to such extent. And while she was coming in, it was quite late in the evening, in the sense about the twilight time, just the time the sun is setting. And while she is walking in, all the gopis noticed some beautiful, it is quite natural in the countryside, isn't it? If anybody comes into the village, everybody will notice that. And they will all talk to each other. This is the village life. And they all want to know who is coming, who has come. And they will inquire, they have their own subtle way of finding out who they are. So, Pudana walked in, dressed well, and had a lotus flower in the hand. She is swinging that, smiling to everybody. If somebody smiles at you, it's very difficult to ask them who you are. Isn't it? She's showing that she is very familiar with you. Then you are confused. You don't know how to start the conversation. Suppose you don't know somebody and walking in seriously, you can ask, who are you? But here you can't ask. Why? She is showing so much familiarity with you. That's what Pudana did. Pudana was smiling at everybody and nobody could, so everybody found it difficult how to ask her, because she seems to know us more than we seem to know her. So that was the difficulty. And the way she was walking, swinging, dancing in a attractive way, she walked inside. What did they think about Pudana at that time? Look at that verse in the sixth chapter. Sixth chapter, sixth verse. Valgusmida Banga Visarga Vikshidairu Manoharandim Manidam Rajogasam Amam Sadam Bhojagarena Rubinim Gopeshriyam Drashtumivagadam Patim. Gopeshriyam Drashtumivagadam Patim. They thought, gopis all thought, that Drashtumivagadam Drashtumivagadam Patim. Mahalakshmi has come to see her husband. They thought like that. Seeing that beauty of Pudana. They thought that Pudana is Mahalakshmi herself. She was so beautiful. And gopis were talking to each other that Krishna is here, Mahavishnu has come. It is Mahavishnu who is lying there, and his wife has come to see him. Mahalakshmi has come to. That's why. Gopya Shriyam Drashtum Ivagadam Patim. Amam Sadambha Ojagarena Rubinim. Gopya Shriyam Drashtum Ivagadam Patim. So, what happened now? For a moment, Gopis are greatest devotees. In their heart, for a very short period of time, they thought about Putana as though she is Mahalakshmi. As though she is Mahalakshmi. So, when in the heart of great personalities, great devotees, or great jnanis or yogis, in their heart, even for a very short period of time, if some good thought happens in their heart about us, it will have its result. It will have its result. This is how it works. Great souls, if they just think about us, let something good happen to this person. A thought must is enough in their heart, it will happen. This is the indication of that. Gopeshrayam drashtum ivagadam patim. That gopis thought this is Mahalakshmi. They didn't think of Putana in a wrong way. They thought about Putana in a very good way. Wife has come to see the husband. Mahalakshmi has come to see Mahavishnu. That's how they took it. So, there, it is their mercy that has prompted this to happen in this way. That has prompted this to look at different aspects of this Pudanamoksham. Pudanamoksham is a, you have to remember that in the 10th canto, the beginning of Krishna's pastimes is Pudanamoksham. Isn't it? The 6th chapter. If you look at the first 5 chapters, it's all the appearance, the cause behind the appearance, the demigods going to pray to Vishnu, and then the appearance chapter, Vasudeva's prayers, Devaki's prayers, and then eventually there is also Nandotsavam. All these things goes up to the chapter 5. So Krishna's pastimes in this world begins with the 6th chapter. Krishna's pastimes. Pudanamoksham is the first of all the pastimes. Right the way, all the way up to 89 chapter is all the pastimes in the chapter. Even though Krishna's mercy need not be there, but in Krishna's devotee's heart, a good thought has happened about Putana. Putana's good fortune, they are saying there, that it is a result of that, that's why she got all this. Krishna was angry with her. But Krishna's devotees have even taken over that part of it. They took control, practically, her good fortune. That she came to see Krishna, gopis thought this is Mahalakshmi had come. And for a short period of time, the thoughts in gopis' hearts were very positive for Putana. And therefore, she was sent back. That's why she got all this benefit. But, and gopis, they are not like Putana. They don't dress up like the way Putana is dressed up with the evil intention behind it. They dress up with such an affection for Krishna. And cowherd boys, cows, and their pure heart, free from all other problems. They were so pure. That is what it's saying. Yadhamartha suharal pray almadanaya prana ashayatval krite. The last line in the 35 verse. Yadhamartha suharal pray almadanaya prana ashayatval krite. So, why is that special about them? That everything, they made their life for Krishna. That was their great fortune. Whole life they lived for Krishna's purpose. That is where we learn Bhagavata Dharma. This is Bhagavata Dharma. That one is able to surrender to such an extent, the whole life they offer to Krishna. Yadhama artha sukharal priyalpadanaya pranashayastval krite. Pranashayastval krite. Everything for Krishna. This was their life. And that is what has made the gopis special, very special. Then there are some statements from Brahma after this, which is very, very important. He says there that what can be given to these people, to gopis and the calves and the cows there, and the cowherd boys, because they have given everything to Krishna. When I think about that, Brahma says, Muhyandiyat Suraya, I don't know what to say more than this, he says. I don't understand, but let us leave it there for the moment, then see what he says. Tavadragadayastayana, Tavalkara Graham Graham, Tavan Mohangri Nigado, Yaval Krishna Nade Janaham, Tavadragadayastena, Tavalkara Graham Graham, Tavan Mohangri Nigado, Yaval Krishna Nade Janaham. Brahma says to Krishna, Krishna, those who have become yours, they have become yours, your people. There is nothing after that, because they have become your people. Remember, in the beginning of this Brahmastuti, we mentioned yesterday, that what is Brahmastuti teaching us? Brahma is telling us the one lesson, that we all have, where do we differ from the personalities, associates of Krishna? We accept what Upanishads are saying, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, everything belongs to Krishna, isn't it? The world is there, all the living entity is there, everything we are accepting, it is Krishna's property. Ishavasyam idam sarvam, yat kincha jagatyam jagat. But, even though you are accepting all these things, you still have not accepted that you are Krishna's. Because if you have accepted you are Krishna's, then all your life should be for Krishna. So our ahangaram has not allowed us to do that, and therefore that ahangaram still remains separate from Krishna. Whereas gopis, cowherd boys, cows, and the grass, and the animals, plants, trees, everything in Vrindavanam is Krishna's. So till that ahangaram false ego disappears from inside, this situation will not happen. That's what Krishna is saying, Brahma is saying here. Tavad ragadayastena taval karagraham graham tavan moha angri nigado yaval krishna nate janaha. Yaval krishna nate janaha. Then Krishna's nothing, you can't go beyond than that. You have become completely Krishna's. That means in our heart that feeling hasn't developed, I am Krishna's. I am Krishna's property. That we are not accepting still. Our false ego, ahangaram inside, is still keeping us separately from Krishna. Therefore, Krishna's mother, Krishna's friends, Krishna's father, Krishna's cows, Krishna's calves, and anyone who has accepted a body or birth there, in whatever form it is, in Vrindavanam, for Krishna's happiness, you can't go anything beyond than that. That is the last situation. You ends there. Your spiritual life finishes there, in that situation. Once you have become Krishna's property. To become Krishna's, that is more important. All other things, Upanishad's knowledge says that, like you can see, that sarvakhalidam brahmam, everything is brahmam, we accept that. Ishavasyam idam sarvam, we accept that. That's all fine. But the person who is accepting has not accepted it himself. He is still outside. Is it not? So, till that happened, that has changed in their lives. They are saying, we are also Krishna's. And that complete conviction in their heart of these devotees, that is what that separates them from everybody else. That's the gopi situation. Is it not? This you will see, if 10th canto is teaching us one lesson, throughout the 10th canto, this is this one lesson. You will see at the very end, the same thing what is spoken in the Pudanamoksham, you will see in the last chapter also. What will they say? If you look into the Sandana Gopalam story. Sandana Gopalam is the Brahmana who had their children. The 10 children who were taken away, and then Arjuna promised to protect them. Arjuna couldn't do anything about it. And Arjuna came back saying, couldn't do anything, he was going to jump into the fire. Is it not? So at that time, Krishna says to Arjuna, wait a minute, he said, before jumping into the fire. And took him to Vaikuntham and brought them back. Is it not? So at that time, what did Arjuna realized exactly the same thing what we are now talking about. Arjuna realized, if you look into the 89 chapter, verse 63, Nishamya Vaishnavam Dhamam Partha Paramavismita Yel Kinjil Paurusham Pumsam Mene Krishnanukam Pidaha Mene Krishnanukam Pidam Yel Kinjil Paurusham Pumsam Mene Krishnanukam Pidam. That is the realization. That without Krishna's mercy, El Kinjil, Arjuna was thinking about himself very big, wasn't he? Remember what happened, what he said to the Brahmana. He says, Brahmana says, Krishna and Balaram, they promised they couldn't do it. Who are you? He says to Arjuna. Arjuna says, have you not heard about me? He says, there's some verses there. That's only a few verses before. Yeah. Sangarshano Vasudeva Pradimno Dhaninam Vera Aniruddha Pradirodham Nathaptam Shaknu Vandiyad. No, he says, Naham Sangarshano Brahman. I am not Balaram, he says. You don't know me, do you? Na Krishna Karshi Revaja. I am not Krishna, he says. Then, Aham Vo Arjuna Nama. You may have heard my name before. If you have not heard, something wrong with you. Aham Vo Arjuna Nama. And then, you know, my bow is called Gandivam. You may have not heard about me. At least you may have heard about Gandivam, he says. Gandivam yasevai dhanu. So, Brahmana looked at him. Who is this person talking like this? Krishna and Balaram has not spoken like this. But so seeing all that, he said, and that's the same person saying after this whole episode, he's saying here that Nishamya Vaishnavam Dhamam Partha Parama Vismida. Before jumping into the fire, Krishna caught him and told him, brought him back. And then he's saying, Yel Kinjil Paurusham Pumsam Meni Krishnanu Kambidam. Arjuna says, I've understood one thing in my life. If Krishna was not there, what is my situation? What's my situation? He says, in the battlefield in Kurukshetram, while Gandhava Dham, fire, Indraprastham, when the fire was, Agni Bhagavan has given this Gandivam to Arjuna. And in various instances, how Arjuna was looked after by Krishna, he is coming to realize that. This, if one has to realize something from Bhagavadam in the 10th canto, it is this statement. We are running around in this world doing big, big things, we think, isn't it? Krishna is saying, Arjuna is saying, that paurusham or ability in a person to do anything, where is that coming from? Yel kinjil paurusham pumsam mene Krishna anukampidam. If Krishna withdraws that from anybody, anytime, all this so-called ability is all useless. It has no meaning. That is the main message there. The gopis and the cowherd boys and the calves and the cows in Vrindavanam, they knew this way before, and they therefore they have completely took as Krishna's people. Surrendered to Krishna in that way, and therefore they had no doubt about it. They had no doubt about it. That is the difference. That is the difference. Whereas we are still thinking, aren't we? Whether we say everything else is fine, but we still do not want to accept Krishna's position in that way. So becoming Krishna's, that is the ultimate goal of all these things. So, before you have become as Krishna's property, and after you have become Krishna's property, there is a big difference in those two things. So, here, when you have become Krishna's cow, Krishna's calves, Krishna's grass, Krishna's animals, Krishna's trees, Krishna's creepers, Krishna's mother, Krishna's father, Krishna's family, this is Krishna's family. That, so, this is how life changes in a person. In a person's life, this is how it changes. Before we became Krishna's person, Krishna's family, we became a Krishna's member of the family, all the ragadvesham, love, hate, all other things, they are all stena. Stena means they are thieves. That's what Brahma is saying here. Tavad ragadaya stena taval karagriham griham. then kamam, what is ragam? Raga means kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, lust, anger, greed, illusion, all these things. These are all the ragam in different ways, isn't it? They are all thieves. Why they are thieves? They are thieves, or they steal everything from us. Our good consciousness, they steal that. And they destroy that. Our good consciousness, they destroy that, isn't it? So, practically due to their presence in us, our lifespan is reduced. Because the time when you get angry or when you get inflicted with any of these weaknesses, that means that time, what you are in that state, is a waste of time, isn't it? It's a waste of lifespan, waste of lifespan. Though, so that's why we say that they steal your lifespan. When you are in anger, when you are in hate, when you are in illusion, when you are in greed, when you are in lust, all these are times which takes away our good consciousness. That means our lifespan is gone away in that way. So, so due to the influence of all that, we miss the opportunity and we don't feel inspired to chant the holy name. We lose that opportunity to chant the holy name and we waste our lifespan. But once you have become Krishna's person, you have become Krishna's property, then this ragam, dvesham, all these things, they are not thieves anymore. They are not thieves anymore. What is that? Suppose if you have attachment to Krishna, that ragam is good. That ragam is good. So, if our attention goes to anything else except Krishna, if attention goes away, then we get upset with them normally. Suppose you want to hear Bhagavatam, but due to some prarabdham at home, you are driven away for something else and you get upset with them. Is it not? It's quite normal. Brahma is saying, you seriously, you are thinking in your mind, let me hear some Bhagavatam, let me hear Bhagavad Gita, or something to do with spiritual activity. But family members and others are coming on the way and they are taking away your time away and engage you in something else in the form of prarabdham. It comes like that. So, when they come like that, you feel angry with them. You feel angry with them. But here, if you have become Krishna's, this is an important thing. If you have become Krishna's, then what will happen? Tavadraga vayasthena taval karagriham griham tavan mohongri nikato yaval Krishna nade janaha yaval Krishna nade janaha. So, you have got attached to Krishna. You are always fully convinced that you are Krishna's property. You are Krishna's property. So, at that situation, what will happen is, even when you get angry, or you get fall into illusion, or greed, or any of those emotions comes in, but if you have become Krishna's, then these things will still take you back to Krishna. These things will still take you back to Krishna. How is that? That's a good question, isn't it? That normally we feel unhappy with people who come and disturb our, waste our time in so many ways. Everything in this world is like that. The employer wastes a lot of your time. The family wastes a lot of your time. And society and friendship, love, all these kind of things can while away a lot of your, after all, we have got only so much time in this life. And out of that, as Prahlada says, half of it is gone in sleep. And for first 15, 20 years playing, last 20, 30 years thinking about life, what I have done, the old age, gone like that. So how much time is really left to take to Krishna consciousness? Very little time. Very little time. Practically you can see that. Prahlada sits and makes a calculation properly. And if you see Prahlada's calculation, there is not much time left. Very little time. Practically 10 or 15 years. That's what you've got. And in this 10, 15 years time, whatever spiritual advancement you have to make, you have to do that. That time it has to happen. Old age is out of question. Why? Body is giving trouble. And then mind is going back to the past, history, all what happened in life, chewing the chewed again and again. The wonderful, adventurous things what you have done in your youth. The people whom you have threatened and frightened them. How others were... how you have misled so many people in this world in so many ways. How you have cheated. Wonderful things what you have achieved in this world. This is youth, isn't it? So you'll be reflecting all these things at the old age. All what has gone through life. Right? Childhood gone completely. Nothing will get into the head. No matter what you tell them. Play, play, play. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. So, you can see, Kaumara Ajarit Pratnyo Dharmam Bhagavadaniha Durlabham Manushan Janmam Tadapyadhruvam Arthadam. You see a proper analysis there. Mugdasya Bale Kaumare Kredade Yadi Vimshadi Jarayagrastha Dehasya Yate Kalpasya Vimshadi. 20 years gone there, 20 years gone here also. Then you slept, 50 years you slept. Then practically in life, how much time is left? Very little time, is it not? So, Krishna, so therefore, in that short period of time, is fully flooded with ragam, dvesham, krotham, lobham, moham, and all other things, isn't it? So, what will happen is that, Brahma is saying here, taval ragadaya stena taval karagriham griham. Then, these ragam, dvesham and all other things are thieves that takes away your lifespan in one way. And your home is also is like a prison when all of them are not cooperating with you in spiritual life. If they are not giving you that freedom to go and to participate in Bhagavadam or in any other spiritual activities, right? Tavan karagraham graham. It is karagraham. Yeah. But tavan moho angri nigado yaval krishna nade janaha. That is the only situation, that's the situation only up to the point you become Krishnas. If you have become Krishnas, then home is not a prison anymore. If you have become Krishnas, the home is not a prison anymore. And the all these, what do you say, these emotions like ragam, dvesham, they are not anymore thieves anymore. They are not thieves anymore. So, that is, how does it say? Because once that love has developed in heart for Krishna, you will find it very difficult. You don't want to hear other things spoken about of the material world. Those things, you will have no interest in that. What? No interest in that. Sometimes you may get angry for that when something is forced upon you. And this you can see. Sri Narada Maharshi came to Mandakini River. Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were drunk. They were drunk. And they were having a good time. Having drunk, isn't it? And what happened then? Narada Maharshi saw them and got angry with them. Is it not? Why? Narada Maharshi felt this Mandakini is Krishna's Padatirtham. Alaknanda and Mandakini comes and becomes Gangadevi, isn't it? So it is Krishna's Padatirtham. And in this Krishna's Padatirtham, these two, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, fully intoxicated and engaged in this pastimes, you couldn't say, enjoying and having a great time with all the upstairs women from the heavenly planets. When Narada Maharshi saw that, he got angry with them. So that anger was not a wasted anger. When we get angry, it's a wasted thing. When Sri Narada Maharshi got angry, it was not a wasted thing. Why? Because that attachment to Krishna so strongly that eventually it developed for the benefit of Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Is it not? That they were told, the Narada Maharshi cursed them, go and stand in Vrindavanam for 100 years, they said. After 100th year, Krishna will appear in Vrindavanam and he will come and release you from that bondage. Isn't it? So, why, what happened now? that Nalagovera and Manigriva also became Krishnas by taking birth in Vrindavanam as the two Arjuna trees, isn't it? So, one way or the other, even though lust was there in Nalagovera and Manigriva, and Srinarada Maharshi got angry with them, in spite of all that, the end result of all that was Nalagovera and Manigriva became devotees. You can see that in their prayers when they left. Vani kunanu kathaye shravano hahayam. That verse, at the last verse in that chapter. So, here you can see, learn from this, that if you have become Krishnas and you live in this world, Krishna will make opportunities. If we have become Krishnas, Krishna will make opportunities to develop love for Krishna more. He will make that opportunity one way or the other. Somehow or the other it will happen. That means all what is required is our attraction for the world should go. That's all it is required. Is it not? That means right now we have attraction for the world in various ways. So when we hear that, if Krishna tells us don't get attracted to that, we will lose that attraction for the outside world. And instead, Krishna will remind us to chant the holy name from inside, and you will chant the holy name at that time. So this way, the changes that will happen in a devotee who has become Krishnas, this is how the result will be. Everything will become, life will become in such a way that all attraction for the world will go, and instead, attraction will go for chanting the holy name of Krishna. So, and at that time, when somebody comes as a, in family life for that matter, if anyone becomes a issue or prarabdham comes in that form, only thing what you will think about them at that time, you will feel some compassion for them, that these people are not able to chant the holy name. How unfortunate that is in that way. And practically all of that will get you closer to Krishna. So that ragam for Krishna will become stronger in that way. And none of that is a waste of time. If, even while, that is what the verse is saying. Tavan moho angri nighado yaval Krishna nade janaha. As long as you have become Krishna conscious, that means you have confirmed yourself inside that you are Krishna's no matter what happens in this world. But because we are not completely surrendered in that way, that is why we have this problem. Therefore, family members become enemy and ragadvesham becomes a problem, everything becomes a problem. But once you have given yourself to Krishna, even though you are living at home, the home is not a prison anymore. Sometimes you feel otherwise, oh, this home life is a prison life. You're stuck in that. You feel like that, is it not? That feeling will go away. That feeling of helplessness will go away. We all get into that situation sometime. That staying at home, family members, friends, society, all these things, you feel like a burden that in your spiritual life, they come and while away you waste your time. But if you have become Krishnas, you will find one day or the other, all these connections will go away. They will leave you. You don't have to leave them. That's a beauty. You don't have to leave them. They will leave you. They will let you go. Till then, they will hold on to you somehow or the other and make life difficult. You can't do then what you want to do, isn't it? So, that is what he's saying. Tavad, taval ragadayastena, taval kara griham griham. Tavan mohangri nikato yaval Krishna nade janaha. Yaval Krishna nade janaha. So, all that, Krishna, Brahma is saying there, you do not have to think your life is wasted, even when it comes to that state. But, if you have not become Krishnas, you are still keeping yourself independent, then your home is karagraham graham. Home is a prison then. It's just you are bound there. It's just you are bound there. So, so ordinary people, like us, just like we are reading Bhagavatam, We are chanting the holy name. We are taking a little satsangam, whatever we get an opportunity. We go on a pilgrimage. And in this way, we live as ordinary devotees in this world. Ordinary devotees. Or become trying to become devotees like that. But we are not sure yet that we are Krishnas. That guarantee or assurance has not happened. This is our state at the moment. Isn't it? We are trying to become devotees. We are reading Bhagavatam. We are here chanting the holy name. We are associating with devotees to the extent possible. And taking in the satsangam, participating, go on a pilgrimage, and things like that. So these are all activities what is done by ordinary people who are trying to become devotees. But those who have become Krishna's devotees, proper devotees, that means that they have completely convinced themselves, they are completely convinced that they are Krishna's. That guarantee has happened to them. So up to that time, what does Krishna say? Brahma says, Tavat karagriham griham. It is karagriham griham. Because when you stay home, when you stay at home, lot of problems, lot of responsibilities you feel. When you start sitting down and chant holy name, wife and children says they want to talk to you. Every household has life. Nobody is different. So, that. And then you start thinking, it's no good sitting here. It will never happen. I'll never be able to chant the holy name. So, you'll think that I'll go to the temple and sit there and chant the holy name. Or I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam classes somewhere. Or go on a pilgrimage. All these thoughts will come to you. Come to our mind. Isn't it? But those who have become Krishnas, for them these problems doesn't exist. Why? They will think in a different way. They will think like this. Krishna wants me to sit here now. And I am Krishnas. And Krishna, whatever he has told me to do, I am doing that. He has put me here in this situation. I will live in this way. This is those who have become Krishnas. Their mood will be like that. There's a big difference. But using this as an excuse and not acting in a Krishna conscious way is not good. You have to become Krishnas and live in that way in the life. So, Krishna has asked me to sit here now. I'm sitting here. Krishna has told me to do this now. I'm doing that. So, no situation they will feel imprisoned. They won't feel imprisoned at any time. And that means life itself is not a bondage for them anymore. This liberation is called mukti. In the Bhagavatam, when we talk about mukti, it is not that five kinds of mukti here. This mukti is that what Krishna is saying here. Remember yesterday we were talking about it. What does mukti means? We are thinking that salopyam. The problem is that we associate mukti everything after death. That is the salokya, samipya, sarupyam, sayujyam, sarshti and all that. Five kinds of mukti. But this is also mukti. If you have become Krishnas, then these things that the burden of home life or imprisonment, prison life, you don't feel anymore as a prison. Tavat karagriham griham. So if you feel that freedom from that bondage of home, you are in a mukti state. You are liberated from that. So, and knowing this, that freedom has come to you, that is knowledge. So, even ragam, dvesham, all other things, if it is directed towards Krishna, or that all those things, once you have become Krishna's property, with that, it turns into bhakti. It becomes bhakti at that time. Ragam, dvesham, everything becomes bhakti, provided this change of consciousness happens. Like the way Brahma is talking about. That word, you have to reflect on it very well and understand it properly. Tavad ryagadayasthena taval karagriham griham tavan moho angri nikato yaval krishna nate janaha yaval krishna nate janaha. So, So all this ragadvesham, everything, it becomes, if it is in connection with Krishna, when you have become Krishna's property or whatever, so surrendered to Krishna, at that time even ragadvesham becomes bhakti. Ragadvesham becomes bhakti. And graham is not karagraham. House is not anymore a prison. And there the proper knowledge of the self will manifest. What that means is chitta shuddhi has happened to that person. Only if chitta shuddhi happens inside, you will feel that attachment to Krishna. You can become Krishna's property. So even though ragadvesham may be there, but because chitta shuddhi has happened in other way, it becomes that ragadvesham also becomes bhakti. Ragadvesham also becomes bhakti. Tavan mohangri nigadaha. So before you become Krishna's, what is happening? Maya ties our hands and legs down with the rope. At the moment, like the way we are now, Maya has tied us down, all our hands and legs with the rope, isn't it? And Maya makes us feel that before we get this conviction inside, that I am Krishna's, Maya will tie us down. At that time, you want to go to the temple, or you want to go for satsangam, or you want to go on a pilgrimage, but you are not able to do it. You are not able to do it. Not that you don't have the desire, but some maya will come and take over. Maya moham. And maya will tie us. That means my home, my family, my job, my children, all these things I am looking after. If I don't do this, will they not be in trouble? This is maya moham. Maya moham, you will see yourself that maya is tying you down. Maya is tying you down. But once you have become Krishna's, then these things cannot come in life and become a hindrance anymore. Because at that time, you don't think anymore, I belong to this home, or I belong to this person, or I'm doing this particular work anywhere. None of them. All that has gone. Because the moment we become Krishna's, it's a very coveted position. That when you become Krishna's, then you become released from all other bondage in this world. That's what he's saying here. Tavad ragadayastena taval karagriham griham. Before you became Krishna's property, all the ragadvesham was there and they were thieves. But when you have become Krishna's, that all has turned into bhakti. Turned into bhakti. Because once you become Krishna's, what happens is the knowledge inside of our spiritual identity become very strong inside. And therefore that knowledge will drive us in the right direction. And this maya that is covering us at the moment, maya is covering us at this moment, she will release us from that effect of maya. That means proper renunciation, detachment, knowledge, and all the other emotions turns into bhakti. So at that point, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, everything becomes solid inside. So, practically, while living in this world, what is that one can say that, how can say one is liberated? When do you say one is liberated? When you know that you have become Krishna's. You have become Krishna's. And that is the perfection of all this. And that is what Vrindavanam is teaching us. Vrindavanam is teaching us. Like you can see in Vrindavanam, this consciousness among those devotees who live there. None of them are saying, I'm from this family or that family. They don't take any identification like that. All of them who lived in Vrindavanam at that time, they all thought that all of us are Krishna's. All of us are Krishna's. How do you know that? That's how they thought. Proof is there in Bhagavatam. When? Nanda Maharaj was living in Brihadvanam. Remember? After so much problems happened, the demons coming and disturbances happened there. A lot of disturbances happened there. On the sixth day, Putana came. Then Shakadasura came. Then Tranavarta came. So, all these things happened. Then fortunately, that two Arjuna trees, they were about to fall on Krishna's body, isn't it? Up to that point, you will see that they were living in Gokulam there. But when all these things happened one after the other, they had a meeting together, all the senior members of the gopis and cowherd boys and the cowherd men, Upananda, Nanda Maharaj, all of them. You can see the Bhagavad mentions there. In that meeting, Upananda says to Nanda Maharaj that it is not good for us to stay here. You can see that heart in them. They are all feeling Krishna is not protected here. Otherwise, if it was only Krishna's protection was the only concern, and if only Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi were worried about it, they could have moved away from there to somewhere else. But instead you see there that they are saying, all other members, senior members among the cowherd men are saying that this is not a place for us, we don't feel safe here, lot of problems are happening. We should all go from here. This is the proof of that they have all become Krishnas. Whatever that danger is there for Krishna, it's their danger. They took it like that. So, so they are saying to Nanda Maharaj that is it not better that we all move from here? Sadhu sadhviti, it says there. They all move together from there to Vrindavanam. From Brihadvanam, they all moved to Vrindavanam at that time. This is how that move happened, in order to show to us how much they were a part of Krishna's life there. They were so much a part of Krishna's life. So, Brihadvanam, they leave and go to Vrindavanam. So, if Nanda Maharaj's son, it was dangerous for him to live there, they could have said, Nanda Maharaj, you may as well leave this place and move somewhere else. They could have said that to him. But instead, nobody said that to Nanda Maharaj. As soon as they took the decision that it is causing problem for Krishna and Balaram and to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, all other cowherd boys, cowherd men, gopis, all of them took a joint decision to move everybody from there. That's just to show to us how much they were a part of Krishna's men. They were Krishna's, were Krishna's property. That means none of them thought, my house, my wife, my children, my cows, my life and my happiness. They didn't think like that. They have gone beyond all that. They have gone beyond all that. Therefore, they are thinking, we are all Krishna's, Krishna's happiness, and they have broken away from all other chains what they had in this world. You will see this mood in the gopis later, in the rasa dance also, when they openly say to Krishna that we have no connections anywhere except with you. Yat patya patya sukhrudam anivurti ranga sthrinam sudharmam. There is a verse there. So, Bhagavatam is showing to us that one has become Krishna's property in every way, in heart, then that person is Krishna's after that, and anything else in this world has very limited effect on him. And they have all the shrinkhala, all the chain they have broken. So practically you can see in that state, they have reached the perfection of bhakti, jnanam or vairagyam, its perfection, and that is mukti, that is liberated state. And there is nothing to reach after that. And nothing, they are not looking for anything else after that, after they have become Krishnas. When Brahma thought like this, Brahma, ultimately, in his prayers, he had got this clarity in him, that these people in Vrindavanam, whom he saw there, he said, they are not people like us, ordinary people, they are saying there. Only thing I have to learn, Brahma says, I also have to become like them, become Krishnas, isn't it? And he was thinking this, after such a long lifetime, I couldn't become like this. He was regretting about that. And he's asked, looking at Krishna's face and saying to him, will you also include me with your people? Isn't it? And at that time, when with that thoughts inside, when Brahma spoke all these things and looked at Krishna, Krishna smiled. Krishna smiled. Krishna is not saying anything. After such a long prayers, Krishna is not saying anything. He just smiled, hearing all these things. And that is why you have to be careful when Krishna smiles. Krishna smile, what does that mean when Krishna is smiling? If you look in Bhagavatam, in several places, when Krishna has smiled, you can see that it is a very dangerous situation if Krishna is smiling. We are thinking when we go to the temple, oh, Krishna is smiling at me. But that's not a very safe situation. In the first canto, when Uttaradevi surrendered to Krishna, remember, Vahi Vahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade, Nanyanto Abhayam Bashyel Yatramrityu Parasparam, saying that she surrendered. When she surrendered, Krishna smiled. When she surrendered, Krishna smiled. And similar situations you will see. He said to Uttara. Says to Uttaradevi, Uttaradevi, now you go and rest yourself. But when Krishna smiled at that time, Uttara felt some relief inside. Some relief inside. So, totally in distress, with the Parikshit is already burned, practically finished. But went and surrendered to Krishna, Sharanagati. And at that time, Krishna is smiling. When somebody surrenders like that, Krishna is smiling. So, only thing we have to understand, that when Krishna is smiling, it means a lot. It means a lot. Hasam janunmada karincha maya, it says. In the Kabila, Kabila Maharshi's teaching, it says, when Krishna is smiling, that smile is maya. That smile is maya. So, so when Brahma asked Krishna, can you include me also in your family, in your society? Krishna is saying, in a smilingly, he says, you have been mine from time immemorial, weren't you? Before I have created everybody else, I have created you. All of the others have been created later, isn't it? If all these people you are saying to me that they are mine, but you were there before all of them, are you not mine? Are you not mine? So Brahma is remembering that. Brahma is remembering that. Because you can see this in the prayers, Brahma's prayers, in the first chapter, in the 10th canto. First time when Brahma prayed that, you see, then he says there, when Krishna says, Puraiva, 22nd verse, 22nd, 10:122. Puraiva vamsavadrato dharajvaro bhavabdiram shairya amshairya dushuba janyatam isayava durubhya bharam ishvare ishvara sokala shaktya akshabayam charet bhuvi. That is one first time Krishna says to Brahma, did you not know that you are mine? You were created before, because when Brahma was praying to Krishna with all the other devadas together, Krishna says, I already knew your problem. That's how he replied. Remember? He says here that Puraiva Pumsavadado Dharajaro, the misery of Mother Earth is known to me. They do not know that, he says to Brahma. It's known to me already. So you have to take birth in the Yadava race, Yadava family. And as long as I come there and perform those pastimes, till you should be present there. So, and I came to know about the miseries of Mother Earth, not because you have informed me. Even way before that I knew about it. Krishna is saying here. From there you have to understand, Krishna is not saying only to Mother Earth this. Each and every living being in this world, Krishna is saying this to us. That, so Brahma is opening his eyes and realizing what he has spoken. That I am sitting in the Satyalokam, way far away from this earthly planet. I come from Satyalokam. This is what Brahma was thinking. And if I am able to live with everybody else, as Krishna is saying that I am the first created being, who? Brahma. If it is like that, everybody whom Krishna has created, Krishna knows everyone's misery also and suffering in this world. There is no question about that. And this is the proof of that. Then Mother Earth was in distress and Brahma went and complained about that. Krishna says, I already knew about it. And that's a proof that Krishna knows the distress of everyone whom has been created. That is Krishna's position there. And it is because of that Krishna smiled. That's why Krishna smiled. You're going and telling somebody as though you have brought some very confidential information for him. And that person already knew about it. So what will he do? You just smile, isn't it? You're telling me now. I knew this before. That is the mood. That's the mood. Krishna knew this before. So, Krishna is saying here that the pain of Mother Earth is known to me, and similarly the pain of everybody else is known to me, but I have accepted everybody as mine. Everybody as mine. But if you are not accepting me as yours, what can I do? This is Krishna's attitude. Krishna has accepted all of us as Krishna's, but if we are not accepting due to our ahankaram inside, that we are Krishna's, then what can be done? So, I have always accepted you as mine. Krishna is saying to Brahma, and that is that smile. And that smile, as soon as that happened, which is like it says here, that it is like the nectar, that smile. Then says there at that time that at that time Brahma is saying one thing. Prapanjam nish prapanchovi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janatananda sandoham prabhidum prabho. That was the conclusion from that. Prapanjam nish prapanchovi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janatananda sandoham prabhidum prabho. He says, he couldn't say anything. Brahma could not answer that. You have to look at this way. Brahma is having a conversation with Krishna. Glorified Krishna nicely. And whatever thoughts that has come to Brahma, he is expressing that to Krishna. And Krishna is smiling at that time. So, why is that? Nishprapanchovi. Nishprapanchovi means one who does not belong to this world. Prapanjam nishprapanchovi. But still, as though he belongs to this prapancham, he is acting here. First of all, that form, manushyanatyam, isn't it? Taken that form, human form, and came here, and in this world, like an ordinary person, is behaving like that, Krishna. Then, therefore, he says, prapanna janada ananda sandoham praditam prabho. Only for this reason, then, those who come and pay offer their respects to Krishna, to them, in order to give them happiness for their benefit, Krishna has come here to this world. Prabhanna janada ananda sandoha pradidam prabho, he says. because people like us, who are considered to be Pashubuddhi, isn't it? Pashubuddhi. For such people, in order to have some surrender to Krishna, attachment to Krishna, and to surrender to Him, we have to see that padam, lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet, isn't it? We won't pay obeisances. Even after seeing, we are thinking whether to pay obeisances or not. We have not made that decision yet, isn't it? So, vastu, what you have not seen, it's not possible to pay obeisances. So, in order that to give us an opportunity to pay obeisances, Krishna has taken a form and come in front of us. And therefore, He has come like this. That is what it says there. Prabhanjam nishprabhanjobi vidambayasi bhutale prabhanna janada anandam sandoham pradidam prabho. Sandoham pradidam prabho. So, that is where that is. We'll have a short break and then we'll continue.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakailava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamrda swadanam sarvatma svanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpidani mida smaranena kala Yedadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi Rudaiva vidrishamiha janina nuraga Trinaravi shuni jaina Sahishuna amanina manarena Kruttaniya sadahari Madanam najanam nasundayim Kavidamba jagadisha kamaye Janmani janmani shure bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvai Ayinandanu jagingaram, padidamam shame, bhavambudo, kubayado bada pangajasidaruli, sadrasham, vichindaya, inamgana shudhareya, padanam gadaradhaya, gira, pulagayar nijidam kadavabhutavam, namagrahane, bhavishari, yugayam nimeshena, chakshusha, pravishayam, Shunyayam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishava padradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karodva Yadadava vidadad vidambadu palpranathas tunevanaparam
Next Sunday we have no class because of Rathayatra. Prabhanjam nishprabhanjobi vidambayasi bhutale prabhanna janadananda sandoham pradidham prabho. That Krishna, Brahma is saying that for those who have taken Krishna's shelter in order to give them their happiness, who is able to surrender to Krishna in that way, and who has been given that mercy by Krishna, they alone, and this opportunity which has given to me, Brahma says, that due to Krishna's grace alone, that I am able to offer my respects to Krishna, and Krishna gives us, has given me in this form. Krishna has given me this form, darshanam, in that way. Is that not Krishna's mercy? Brahma is saying here. Krishna has shown this mercy to everybody in Gokulam. And that is the reason that I am able to come here and stand in front of them like this. And it is only because of that, Brahma says there, I am able to please Krishna to some extent. They haven't come here because of their qualifications. But Brahma is saying that I have been thinking like that, but one thing is clear now, that in order that I would be able to pay obeisances to Krishna, therefore Krishna has come here in this form, and just like all others who have come here and offering, who are Krishnas, who have taken the shelter of Krishna and who have become Krishna's property in that way, that they are receiving Krishna's mercy. Similarly, I have come from Satyalokam here, and I am able to offer my respects to Krishna in Vrindavanam. Is that also not Krishna's mercy, he is saying here? And Krishna has shown the same mercy what he has shown to others, to me as well. They are all fortunate people. And why should I think about myself that I am not fortunate, says Brahma. And already I am Krishna, I am convinced on that, he says. Brahma is saying, I am convinced on that. I am not so unfortunate, he says. What is that good fortune Krishna has given to me? He says there that every jiva in this world, they execute their karma according to their vasana here. And according to their prarabdham, when their body is finished, and after the prarabdham is finished, the body is over, then they have to go into the heavenly planets or hellish planets, wherever they have to visit. And after that they get another birth again. And my responsibility is there to hand over that responsibility to them, to give that birth to them. That decision-making process, I am a part of that, Brahma is saying there. And that may be, that life what they receive after that, it could be in the human form, it could be in the animal's form, or it could be any other different species. But making that decision and according to their qualifications, giving that body in that particular form is the duty Krishna has given to me. Krishna has given to me. And that is my dharma, he says. In reality, I do not give them the birth according to their qualifications. When I give the birth to them, there is also this thought behind that which way they will be able to come back to Krishna, what kind of birth will be facilitate that, and where should they take their life, what all they have to do so that they can come back to Krishna. And giving a body like that to a particular jiva, and that is the seva or service to the jivatma. Directly you are not able to serve Krishna directly, but every jiva who wants to come back to Krishna, but to give them a body suitable for that, and that is what I have been doing all these years. And when you are thinking them as jiva, you are giving them a body accordingly. But once you start seeing them no more as jiva, but purely as Atma, or knowing their Atma Tattvam, in that situation, that means, if one is thinking themselves as jiva, then according to different karma vasana, they have to provide them different dresses. That means, they have to give them different bodies accordingly. That Krishna is acting in the form of jiva. After all, what is jiva? Jiva is also Krishna's reflection in the chittam. So, dressing up a jiva in a particular form is Brahma's responsibility. And that means, is not Krishna himself in the form of jiva here? So, Brahma is dressing up Krishna in the form of jiva in different formats here. All jivas are Krishna's expansions only, in that sense. That is the point Brahma is making here. You will see there that prapancham nishprapanchobi vidambayasi bhudale prapanna janada ananda sandoham praditam prabho. Then he says, janandam eva janandu kim bahukya name prabho manaso vapusho vaja vaibhavam tava gocharam. That Brahma is saying, giving these different bodies to Jiva. Jivas are not separate from Krishna. They are not separate from Krishna. Krishna is, come here. If you think of them in the form of Jiva, then also it is Krishna whom I am dressing them. I am dressing them with all these different kind of bodies. And that good fortune I have been given. And decorating them means that when a Jiva gets full realization that he has become perfect inside, is when he loses that ahankaram from inside. That is the perfection inside. So, while decorating Krishna also, you will see that statement, tachalpane pratimukhasya yatha mukhashri, that Prahlada Maharaj says in the Prahlada Stuti, that when you are decorating Krishna, what is actually happening is that a perfection comes. The garland you have put on Krishna, the dress you have put on Krishna, that makes a perfection inside us, because Krishna who is present within our heart is Antaryami. He is the one who is deriving the pressure from that. So, when you feel that happiness inside, is when you are decorating Krishna outside. When you are decorating Krishna outside. So, Krishna is in this world. There is only actually Krishna here. All the jivas are different manifestations of Krishna. And when they have manifested in different forms, giving them these different dresses, and that is what I have been doing all these years. And by doing that, actually, what should I experience? I should feel a satisfaction inside. Instead, what did I think? I thought that I am the creator, I am engaged in creation, at that moment everything went wrong. Brahma is admitting that. The moment I thought that I am the creator and I am creating, when these things existed, it was a wrong conclusion from that. But when I started seeing all these jivas which are decorated with different bodies is actually nothing but dressing Krishna in these different forms, when I started thinking like that, there was a complete, total satisfaction inside. And that is what he is saying there. Krishna is saying here that here you can see that Gopas, the cowherd men, are totally satisfied in their service to Krishna. Gopis are totally satisfied, and to the same situation I will reach eventually. I will reach eventually. Only thing is, I have to be conscious like the way they are about this. And that's the only thing I have to know. And therefore, you see the statement, Janandam eva janando, kim bahuktya name prabho, manaso vapusho vaja vaibhavam tava gocharam. Manaso vapusho vaja vaibhavam tava gocharam. That Brahma's position is such that Krishna has given me an opportunity to dress Krishna in the form of different jivas. In the form of different jivas. That is the service he has given to me. But only thing is, I didn't become aware of that. That was my service. I did not take it as a service in that way. Instead, I thought myself that I am the creator. I am doing the creation in this way. So, actually, I am not Brahma. I am Krishna's servant. And Brahma is nothing but, this position of Brahma is a position given to me to serve Krishna. That's the only thing I have to know, and I have understood that. Brahma is saying there, I have understood that. That is what there you can see in the 38th verse. Janandam eva janandu kim bahuktya name prabho manaso vabusho vajo vaibhavam tava gocharam. He says, there is not a lot to say about it. Those who want to know about it, let them know about it. What's the point in talking about it? To know, and your position, this cannot be understood by the mind, understood by the by my body, and your glories cannot be subjected to my mind or body or my words. It cannot be discussed. Janandam eva janandu kim bahuktya name prabho మనసో వపుషో వాచో వైభవం తవ గోచర. There is nothing more to say than that. Those who want to know, let them know it. What is there to speak about that? And I don't have to say this to Krishna, because Krishna knows this. And except Krishna, there is no point in talking about this to somebody else, because they won't understand it. They won't understand it. Therefore, I'm not saying anything anymore. And how long I will be able to experience this? How long mind can stay in that consciousness? And how long the body can engage in service? How long the words can explain that? All these things Krishna knows better. So, according to whatever Krishna gives me that mercy from Him, or allow me to do so, accordingly I can think, I can act, I can speak. Otherwise, apart from that, by my own ability, I cannot do any of these things. Even the time so far, what I have spoken about Krishna, all the glorifications I have done, even that too, that because Krishna has allowed me to glorify Him in that way. Therefore, there is nothing more for me to say anything about it. And and after saying all these things, a stage has come now in Brahma's prayers that he cannot say any more anything about it. That is what he is saying here. Anujanihi mam Krishna sarvam tvam velsi sarvadrik tvameva jagadam nadho jagade tattavarpidam jagade tattavarpidam. Asking permission to leave. He's saying, Anujanihi mam Krishna sarvam tvam velsi sarvadrik tvameva jagadam nadho jagade tattavarpidam. And saying this, Brahma paid obeisances once again and asking permission to leave. And you are seeing everything, you know everything, and because you are the one who is a Natha, who is guiding everyone, whatever changes or movements that is happening here, all that I am offering this to you. Offering means knowing that everything is Krishna, who is, whatever that is happening here is Krishna. So, and I know about this. Whatever that is here, whatever movements are happening here, whatever activities are going on and the results are coming from that, this is what creation means, isn't it? All the movements in this world and this whole creation is nothing but Krishna's knowledge that is working here. And just like in the Gayatri, also you say this, isn't it? Om Bho Bhuvasva Tat Sarvadurvarenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. That Dhimahi is that this, knowing this awareness that, why is Krishna showing all this compassion to us? If you ask that question, there is no answer to that. That is Krishna's mercy. So, and Krishna continuously doing that. Just like, why the sun is shining, there is no answer to that. Similarly, when Krishna is showing this mercy, what can the answer? That is Devasya Dhimahi. And Krishna knows that, nobody else knows that. It was like that till now, it is the same today also, and it will be like this forever. And there is nothing else here, everything else is just a feeling inside our mind. So, here, Brahma is saying here, I am here as Brahma, and there is a thing called creation, is all nothing but my own illusion. It's an illusion that I have created. That is what he is saying here. Tameva jagadam nadho jagadeta tavarpidam. What is this jagadeta tavarpidam? That these are there because you are giving us this experience of this creation. That is how it is, isn't it? Creation, like we talked about yesterday. That what is creation means? Creation means because of our awareness of our existence, we know that all these things exist. That is creation. And only because of Krishna's presence inside us, as Antaryami, we are aware of the existence of all this manifested world. So who is more important? Krishna is more important. Krishna's presence is making us aware that all these things existing. We won't be knowing the existence of this creation if Krishna inside us is not giving us that awareness inside. So that is what Jagadeva Tavarpidam. That is that Jagadeva Tavarpidam. That without Krishna's presence inside, what does creation means? It means nothing. Because Krishna is inside, we become conscious of or aware of the existence of this manifested world. So, manifested world exists because Krishna exists within the heart. Therefore, the manifested world exists. That is what, in a more subtle level, Brahma is saying this. He is saying there, Tomeva Jagadam Natho Jagadeta Tavarpidam. Till we come to this center, that Krishna is the center. It is from that center we are experiencing the world. Not that we are independent of the world and finding out where the world has come from. World didn't come from anywhere. It is Krishna's another form. That is what it is called, Virat Sarupam. It is Krishna's another form. But if we go back to the center, we will realize this. The center is Krishna. It is in that center we are experiencing the world. We are experiencing the world in that center. So that center is more important, not the world. This important point Brahma is making here. That anujanihi mam Krishna sarvam tum veti velsi sarvadak tum eva jagadam natho jagadeta tavarpidam jagadeta tavarpidam. So saying this, he says there anujanihi mam deva. So this thought, this all what is happening now is all your desire, and therefore I realize that where it's coming from, and I offer myself to that. That's only anujanihi mam deva. That please allow me from now on that I remain as your servant forever, and to give me that identity all the time. That is what Dhyoyona Prajodayat. Actually, in Gayatri, when you chant this, you may say as a mantra it is chanted, but what is that driving it? It's driving to this understanding that this thought alone should guide me in my life, and in further, in the future also, this thought should guide me all the time. And remember, when we started Brahmastuti, what did we say? Brahma is the predominating deity of intelligence, isn't it? So that is what that prayer is driving at. At the end, that whatever living entities are there in this creation, the samashti or the complete aspect of that intelligence is Brahma. That's how you have to understand Brahma. Brahma, when you start seeing as a purely a person, what is Brahma means? Brahma means that he is the predominating deity of intelligence in everyone. Intelligence in everyone. We are in the Veshti form in this body. In the Samashti form, that means the whole creation if you take it, in that whole creation, what is present as intelligence in everyone is Brahma. Is Brahma. So that intelligence is Dhyoyona Prajodayat, should be purified to come to this understanding and offering everything to Krishna and asking for permission to move further. To move further. If we have accepted in the same way that we are Krishna's, like the way Brahma has concluded here, in that case, only we will understand these prayers of Brahma. We understand this prayer. So, after this Brahma, Krishna allowed Brahma to leave, and all those calves and the cowherd boys whom Brahma was hiding them, brought them back and presented them before Krishna. And they woke up from the Maya. They were put bound by Maya. Brahma has used his Maya to keep them away from Krishna. Now they have woken up from that Maya. When they looked and woke up from that Maya, after waking up from the Maya, when they looked, what did they see? They saw Krishna standing there, not far from there. And they were asking Krishna, why are you standing there? And you have not even taken the one on a morsel of prasadam yet. All these things happened when they were taking prasadam together, isn't it? That's the time Brahma came. Brahma took them away and Krishna was left alone. Krishna expanded then in the form of cowherd boys and in the form of calves. And then for a whole year, Krishna lived like that. Krishna himself manifested in that way, and Brahma kept away and went to Satyalokam. When he came back, what he saw was that Krishna was there with all the expanded forms. That was this Brahma Vimohanam, it is called. Brahma Vimohanam. Brahma was put into illusion. Brahma was using his illusory power, but Brahma himself fell into the illusion of Krishna, and that is what you will find here, that the children got back from their position in Brahma's Maya and started thinking like the way they were before they were taken away by Brahma. They felt that they are still with Krishna. They are brought back into that same consciousness. So, at that time, they were inviting Krishna to come and join the feast. And altogether, Krishna sat down. All of them sat together and they were smiling at each other, enjoying having the picnic together. And they ate together. And after that, they are going back to... While going back from there, they saw Akasura's body lying there. But now 1 year time has gone. The flesh, everything from Akasura's has taken a form of a python, isn't it? He was lying there. So all the flesh is gone and only the outer skin was lying there in the Vrindavanam forest. And when they saw that, it was a huge body. It was like a marquee for them when they saw the huge body lying like that. And that was the day when children saw that and they went back to went back home to Gokulam, to Vrindavanam. They went home and they reported this to their mothers, that Krishna has killed Akasura. A question was asked before. Why did it take so long for them to say this? After a year, this was informed to them. It says in the Bhagavatam, you will see. After a year, they have gone and reported this. Why did that happen? Because this whole year, this pastime was happening in Vrindavanam. So, what is this Akasura? Akasura means, in all of us, when we have this aham aham, that I am thinking that ahangaram inside, that is akham. Akasura is that. That akham is that sinful feeling. It is a sinful thing to identify with this ahangaram. Identify with this ahangaram. That is what they call as the first sin. First sin. So, when in the beginning of creation, Krishna has reflected in the Maya. And in that reflection, the Maya is called Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam means Krishna's reflection in the Maya. In that Mahatattvam was born what is called Ahamtattvam. Ahamtattvam. And that Ahamtattvam is the first sin, as they call it. You can see that. If you go back into the creation in the third canto, you will see this, that in the beginning of creation, Krishna is saying that Swarupam, how does that manifest? From Krishna comes the Mahatattvam, and from Mahatattvam comes Ahamtattvam, isn't it? Ahamtattvam is the Ahangar, Samashti, it is called Balaram, Sankarshanamurti. Sankarshanamurti or Balaram in Samashti is this Ahamtattvam. So, when in that reflection in the Mahatattvam of the Brahmam, Brahmam's reflection in the Mahatattvam is Ahamtattvam. The reflection in the Maya is the Mahatattvam, and that Mahatattvam, when this identity developed, Ahamtattvam came in. So, that is, you will see this in the 11th canto, Krishna mentions this. If you look at the 25th chapter, that's where it is explicitly spoken. Explicitly spoken in the 25th chapter. Sixth verse. Sannivadam. This Sannivadam is this. Sannivadastum ahamidi. Mamedi uddhavayamati. Vyavaharam sannivadam. Sannivado mano matrendriya subhi. Sannivadastum ahamidi. Mamedi uddhavayamati. Vyavaharam sannivadam. Mano matrendriya subhi. That me and mine, that buddhi, which is Sannivadam, is called Sannivadam. So, because from Ahamdat Mahatattvam, first of all, Krishna's reflection in the Maya is Mahatattvam. And Mahatattvam. From that Mahatattvam, this Ahamdatvam has come. So, this Sannivadam is this, which is that me and mine. That is that Sannivadam. Sannivadam is me and mine. And once that goes away, that Sannivadam goes away, only then, me and mine goes away, only then the Ahangaram will go from inside. And when that Ahangaram goes away, then one can pay proper obeisances to Krishna. Up to that time, our obeisances are all physical. Ahangaram is still there, isn't it? So, proper obeisances to Krishna is when me and mine goes away. That is that Sannivadam Krishna is talking about. Sannivadastum ahamidi. Aham aham. That hangaram inside. Mamedi uddhava yamati. Vyavahara sannivadam mano matrendriya subhi. So, in the me and mine, that thought is Sannivadam. That has gone away. And now what has happened? When me and mine has gone away, that's also aham aham, that ahangaram also has gone away. And therefore, Brahma was able to pay his proper obeisances to Krishna. And then he says here, I become prapanam. That's why you'll see that verse. Prapanna janatananda sandoha pratidham prabho. He says there. Isn't it? Prapanam. So, that means, I have known that I am Krishna's. I am Krishna's. Because these are all happening on a level of consciousness. That's why when you speak about all these things, it's not properly experienced, right? Unless our chitta shuddhi and shravanam is so good that this effect, impact of all these things, you can see how Brahma Stuti is very much in union with what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. The knowledge that Krishna has spoken to Uddhava in Ekadasham, you will see all that reflection, all the studies also, it'll come through. So, when ahangaram inside us, when that goes away, when prapannam happened, when prapannada happened, that is when Brahma says, I came to know that I am yours. That time, you will know that you are Krishna's. You will know that you are Krishna's. So, what is remaining now? Up to this time, I am independent, isn't it? Like ahangaram. That's what ahangaram does. Sannivadatvam, Sannivadam does that. Aham amedhi, that thought comes inside. Once they leave us, Sannivadam, and I started seeing that he was able to pay his offers, his respects or obeisances to Krishna properly. So, I came to know that I am Krishna's. I am Krishna's. Now what is there? This aham inside is there. It's just like a cover, extra cover. Even though I'm saying all these things, I'm not there in that statement. Ahangaram is not there in the statement. So, when this stage comes, what happens? They also got the namam and rubam. But house, home is there. Children are there. Dharmam is there. Everything is there. But everything is just a coverage. Only thing is, what these are all nothing but a marquee for the devotee to engage in Krishna's service. That means to associate with Krishna, all these do not become anymore a hindrance. That is what he is saying here. So, the chittam inside, which is full of vasanas, that is completely dried up and it has fallen off. It has fallen off inside. It has become pure. So, after showing this, Krishna is returning back to Vrindavanam. He is going home. You will see that in the 47th verse. 47th verse he is saying here. Barha prasuvina navadhadu vijitridanga prodama venudala shringara vol savadhya valsan gunan anugagida pavitra kirti gobi drigulsavadrishi pravivesha goshtam. Gobi drigulsavadrishi pravivesha goshtam. Braha prasuna navadhadu vijitridanga prodama venu dala shringa revol savadhyam valsan gunan anugagida pavitra kirti gopi drigulsavadrishi pravivesha goshtam. What does that mean? Means that that whenever Krishna came in Vrindavanam, for gopi, when they saw Krishna with his peacock feather, the flowers, and body decorated with the various garlands, and the flute, and the cane for tending the calves, then the horn, which Krishna was using as an instrument, all auspicious sounds they were creating with that, and along with all the calves, Krishna came back to Gokulam. Gobi drigulsavadrishi pravivesha goshtam. That it was like a festival for Gopi's eyes. Krishna has come back. When this was spoken, Parikshit asked this question. What was the question? How is that? And this is the most important bit in the Brahmastuti. How is that Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda? But how come this whole year, when Krishna expanded himself in the form of calves and the cowherd boys and associated with the gopis as their mother, the calves as their mother, and gopis were able to experience more than the usual happiness they had with their own children, original children? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Just to show to us that how Parikshit is hearing things, that he's able to ask this question. Unless he is very focused in listening, he couldn't ask that question. It's such a in-depth question. That what he said made gopis to feel so attracted and attached to these children who are not their children. They were expansions of Krishna. But right now, what is happening? They were so attracted by these children, and in the Bhagavatam it says that how happy they were, both the cows as well as the gopis. All the calves were Krishna and the cowherd boys were also Krishna. So that question, Shukha Brahmarshi is answering there. If you look at the verse 50, you will see the answer. Shri Shukha Uvacha, Parikshit question. Brahman, 49th verse. Brahman parodbhave krishne yan prayama katham bhave yo bhuda surastho ageshu sodbhaveshu vikathyadham. On their own children, they didn't have this love, feeling of love for their own children. And how did this happen to their son, to Yashoda Devi's son in Krishna? How did this love develop in this way? This was the question. Shukam Brahmashi says that answer, what you find there, verse 50, 51, 52, all that is an explanation to that. And finally, you will see that. Sarvesham abhibhudhanam nirvasvalpaiva vallabha idarevattu vittadya tvat stadvallabhadayivahi tadvallabhadayivahi. Ultimately, in this world, this is a very important thing. For all living entities, for everybody, the only thing what is dear to them is their very self. We say self-preservation, isn't it? But it's a mundane way of saying. But in reality, it is like that. Reality, it is like that. We, this Maya is such, it makes us feel that all this family, friends, society, oh, is a good friend of mine, and he is this, he is that. We have so many connections everywhere. This is Maya's connection. It is not Krishna's connection. Because it is Maya's connection, sarvesham abhibhudanam nirbhasvalmaiva vallabhaham idarevattivittadya tadvallabhadayivahi tadrajendra yathasneham susvagalpani dehinam nadada mamada alambi putram vitta grihadishu. Mamada, attachment everywhere. Putra, vittam, griham. Attachment to home, attachment to wife, attachment to children, attachment to family, all these things. What does that mean? Dehalpavadinam pumsam abhirajanya sattama yatha deha priyadama tada ahyaniyechatam. That those who are in the bodily concept of life, very much in identification with the body, for them, dehalpavadinam pumsam abhirajanya sattama, for them what is the most important, what is the dearmost thing for them is their body, isn't it? Those who are very attached to their own body, the most important thing for them in this world is their body, because of that attachment, like that, isn't it? And for them, other things in this world will not be so important. This you can see yourself in this world. Those who are in the very much in the bodily, some people's attachment to the body is so strong that they will do anything to protect that body. Is it not? So they are called Dehalpavadi. Dehalpavadi nam bhumsam abhi rajanya satama yada deha priyatama tada nah anu yechatam. And in the verse before that he is saying, Rajendra, calling Parishit like that, yatha sneham susuk alpani dehinam na tatha mamada alambi putra vitta grihadishu. What does this body means? Body means that this body creates this ahankaram, isn't it? That's where your identification goes and falls. You leave your identity with the spirit, Atma. Identification, Atma goes away. And instead, it identifies with the body. Therefore, he says there that the shariram or body is due to the ahankaram inside. Ahankaram aspadam. Ahankaram is the one that is keeping this body going like this, because there is ahankaram inside. Ahankara aspadam is this body. So, the attachment to this body, that attachment to this body because of the ahankaram in the body will be stronger than the attachment to his children, attachment to his friends, attachment to his home, attachment to anybody. Because shariram is ahankaraspadam. The first place where ahankaram is installed is in the body. So, because the ahankaram is like a post to which all other things are tied, isn't it? All other the extensions are tied to this ahankaram. And where is ahankaram? Ahankaram is in this body. So, therefore, because ahankaram's presence is in the body, that is where the strongest attachment also. There is interesting stories about this. There was once in heavy floods in Hrishikesh, I think, it was happening. So there was lots of monkeys there. So the monkeys had jumped onto the top of the trees. The river was getting flooded and flooded, and water level was rising. At a certain level, the water to such a level that the monkey mother is sitting with the baby monkey. Eventually, when it realized that water is still rising, it left the baby monkey and it ran away. It couldn't protect. So you can see, otherwise they were very attached to the baby. But as soon as he saw that his own body is going to go, then you will protect your body first. You can't do anything. This is how creation is. There's nothing we can do. That's why, to show to us how illusory this whole connection is in this world, to make us convince that. Because if tad rajendra yatha sneham susvad atmani dehinam na tatha mamadam alambi putram vitta grihadishu putra vitta grihadishu deho bi mamadha bhakchetar hyaso atmavat priya yajjaritivi dehesmin jividasha beliyasi. You have to remember who is saying all these things. That's the important thing. The person who is saying all these things. If you look into the second canto, when Bhagavatam began, what he told us, isn't it? He said, some of the things, what heavy preaching he has done there, heavy words he has used there, that for the sake of this body, why do you have to go and serve the wealthy people in this world? So many things he mentioned there, is it not? If you look into the second canto, you will see there, beginning itself. Yeah. Yeah, if you look at that. Fifth verse. All that, the second canto, second chapter, verse 4 and 5. He's saying, Satyam shidau kim kashipo prayasair, bahau susiddhe ubavarhane kim, satyanjalo kim purudhana patria, digvalkalado sadikim dugulai. He says, why do you have to look for a bed? Is Mother Earth not allowing you to sleep on her ground, on the ground? Can you not sleep, he says. And why are you looking for a pillow? The hand is given, can you not use it as a pillow? And why do you need a pot to eat food? Hold both hands together and receive the food with the hand. And why do you need any clothes, he said. Why can you not get the tree's bark and cover your body with that? This is Sri Shuka Brahmarshi. Satyam shidau kim kashipo prayasair, baho susiddhe ubabarhanai kim, satyanjalo kim purudana vatriyam, digvalkalado sadikim dugulai. Then he says, chirani kim padina sandhi dishandhi viksham, naiva angriva parabradas saridopya shushyan, rudhaguha kimajitovadi nobasanan, kasmad bhajandi kavayo dhana dhurmadhandhan. Then, dress is concerned, sometimes clothes will be lying on the street. Can you not use them? Are the trees not giving the fruits anymore? Are the rivers not giving water enough to drink? Is all the caves closed down? And will Krishna not protect his devotees? So, why kasmat bhajandi kavayo dhana dhurmadhandhan? He is saying this. Why do you have to go and toil in this world and please others to maintain this body? Kasmat bhajandi kavayo dhana dhurmadandhan. So that Sukha Brahmarshi is saying here, that deho bi mamadha bhakche tarhyasau atmavat priya ye jiryatyabhi dehesmin jividasha beliyasi. He's saying that suppose these two things, me and mine, suppose you have no identification with the body. I am this body. If that identification, that's called adhyasam. If the adhyasam is not there, but attachment is there, mamatvam is there, aham tvam, aham is not there, aham mameti, aham is not there, mameti is there, then this body will not be as attached as you are feeling now. Because you are thinking you are this body, that is why you are feeling the attachment. Suppose you are not thinking you are this body, then this attachment won't be there. Just like right now, the Atma is the dearest to us because we know that is what we are, isn't it? Awareness inside us, Atma. So that is the dearmost thing to us of all. Atma is the most dear thing to every living being, the very self inside Atma. Like Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, the same thing. In the Upanishad you will see that. But Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here, if you have no identification with the body, if you have no identification with the body, but instead only attachment there to the body, suppose there is no identification, but there is only attachment, in that case, body will not be as dear to you like the self. Will not be as dear to you like the self. Because even when the body gets destroyed, or when the body gets old and when it loses its strength, it goes away, still what is remaining in us strongly is our will and the desire to live. You can think through all these things, then you will get the best understanding. That when we leave this body, if the attachment to the body is there, what is riding over that, overriding all that inside us is still jividasha, to live. To live. Where is that coming from? It's coming from the self. Real self, it's coming from there. That awareness, the existence of the awareness, awareness of the existence, in other words, awareness of the existence is driving us to think, I have to exist, isn't it? Even though body is going, to show to us that more than the attachment to the body, is importance is given to the soul, because everything is coming from the soul. Everything is coming from the soul. That's what he's saying here. Deho bi mamadha bhakche tarhyaso almavat priya ye jirya tabi dehesmin jividasha beliyasi jividasha beliyasi tasmat priyadama swalma sarvesham abidehinam tadarthameva sagalam jagadeta characharam. Why he is saying all these things? To show to us that for all living entities, one's own soul is the most dear thing, not the body. Why? You are that awareness inside, and that is why it's so dear to us, more than the body. More than the body. And this whole world is dear to us because for the sake of Atma. For the sake of Atma. This connection with the world is because of Atma. Atma wants it, so therefore this connection with the world, firm, home, family, bodily extensions, children, all these things, is because Atma wants. It is for Atma's pleasure that we are doing all these things. That's an important principle. Again, the glories of Atma, it is unending. But only thing is, in mistaken identity, we are loving certain wrong places, attachment are built up, and suffering comes from that. If ever any attachment has to develop in anyone's heart any time, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, it should be to the very self itself, Atma. And that Atma is Krishna. That's how Brahma is saying that. So, Krishna consciousness means this understanding. Realizing this, that Upanishads are saying the same thing. That is what Shukha Brahmarshi is bringing it from. If you read Bhagadarani Upanishad, this is what is spoken a lot. Different Adhikaranam, they will see that. So, Krishna Menam Avehitvam Almanam Ahilalmanam. That Atma, he says in the 50th, Jagadidaya Sopyatram Dehivabhadi Maya. Dehivabhadi Maya. He says there that as long as you can see Krishna in that way, Sarvatma, as Andaryami is inside, know that first, he says. And but for the benefit of this world, due to the, with the help of support of Maya, Krishna is present in this form in front of us. In this form, he is present in front of us. These are the important conclusions in this Brahmastuti. That a lot of things to explain to us, Brahmastuti has taken this way. When this came up, question came up, that how the cowherd boys, gopis and gopas, cowherd men and the gopis, how they got so attached, developed this tremendous attachment for Krishna. That's what Parikshit's question was. Shiva Brahmarshi says that, and you have to analyze this question with a lot of logic and reasoning. This question requires logic and reasoning to apply to that. That till now, we were using our intelligence to understand things, isn't it? So, Vashta, one has surrendered to Krishna and taken complete shelter of Krishna, and who has realized that I am Krishna's. And in that time, it is with that understanding, with that intelligence, one should think these things. One should think these things. Not with our normal intelligence, but with the intelligence with which we have surrendered to Krishna and realized we are Krishna. We are Krishna's. We are Krishna's property. After that, with that understanding or that surrender, if you analyze this, you will understand these words, what Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here. So I'll stop here today. And next Sunday is Rath Yatra. So Anil will sing that Jagannatha Ashtakam. We want to sing, so we'll have that, and then after that we can have prasad. We'll see next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.